Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Tomorrow Matters website, DeborahLindsay.com, clicking on the Google calendar, you would find out. In fact, that we'll be doing reruns of the Best of Tomorrow Matters for Thursday and Friday. I do need to head out of town, and so we'll see you back here on Monday. But stay tuned, because they are good shows, best of the best, on tomorrow and on Thursday. Also, check out the blog. Thanks so much to Alana for helping out in the studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Justice Department says it was Bruce Ivins had the whole country on edge in 2001 with anthrax-dusted letters.
After years of investigations and a false accusation against another scientist at the same lab, U.S. Attorney Jeff Taylor says this time they are sure. Ivins sent the anthrax letters and acted alone. The key evidence, newly available DNA testing that traced the deadly anthrax to one flask that Ivins controlled.
The spores used in the attacks were taken from that specific flask, regrown, purified, dried, and loaded into the letters.
Letters, he says, Ivan sent, killing five people and panicking the nation at a time he was mentally unstable. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
The government got half a loaf in the terror tribunal of Salim Hamdan, Osama bin Laden's personal driver. He could still get life in prison. Next come the appeals, of course. CBS News Foreign Affairs Analyst Pamela Falk.
The next case of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, called the planner of September 11th, will be the real bellwether, because it is a case that will raise the issue of harsh interrogations, and because it is a death penalty case.
What were four armed Mexican soldiers doing in Arizona, drawing down on a U.S. Border Patrol agent? The Border Patrol contends they were lost, didn't know which side of the border they were on.
The soldiers were commanding him not to move. The soldier repeatedly at times kept telling him in English first that he was a U.S. Border Patrol agent. Again, in Spanish, he was telling him that he was, he mentioned the words la migra, which also means slang terminology for Border Patrol. He mentioned this several times before they lowered their weapons.
Mike Seeley, a Border Patrol agent for the Tucson sector. It's not a first. It's roughly the 40th such Mexican incursion onto U.S. soil since last October. Back to school retail. Nothing to shout about this year.
There are all kinds of promotions out there, but Americans just aren't in the spending mood.
This looks like a train wreck for retail for most retailers in the U.S.
Retail analyst Bert Flickinger says consumers have $15 billion less to spend. That's because of higher food and fuel prices.
Consumers' purchasing power is almost totally tapped out.
That could make it a painful back-to-school shopping season for consumers and retailers. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
Politics. And the latest CBS News poll finds most folks are thinking about their pocketbooks.
Voters here in America are absolutely focused on domestic issues. About 8 in 10 of them said that that's what they want the focus to be on. Far fewer said that they preferred to focus on foreign events.
So CBS News Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton says that's one reason Barack Obama's foreign trip didn't help him against John McCain. He still has a 6-point lead over McCain in the CBS poll. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 40 points today. The Nasdaq was up about 28.5 points. Oil prices, $118.31 a barrel. That's down 86 cents. This is CBS News.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Bomb.
In 1996, Carl Lewis defied Father Time by taking home the gold in the long jump. You, on the other hand, defied physics and strained your back with some crazy yoga pose intended to catch the eye of a young lady. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
At Ace Hardware, whether it's in our stores or out in the community, helping people is what we do. Through our New Faces for Helpful Places program, Ace has provided makeovers to nearly 30 community organizations across the country. To nominate a helpful place in your neighborhood for a $10,000 renovation, go to acehardware.com. Ace, the helpful place. No purchase necessary. Must be a legal U.S. resident, 21 or older. Void where prohibited. Ends August 31st, 2008. For official rules, go to acehardware.com.
Nothing like a banner headline in a national college guidebook to get a university to try to cut short the keg party.
1 week after the Princeton Review called it the top party school in the country, the University of Florida may be cracking down on campus drinking. The university wants to ban kegs, drinking games, and other alcohol-related activities as part of a revised student conduct code. There would also be new options for students who are accused of violations. Nothing is etched in stone just yet, but the university's Board of Trustees could give its approval next month. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
It is a chilling scenario, a hungry mountain lion that creeps into a human home and leaves with a pet dog in its jaws. It happened in Idledale, California. 130-pound mountain lion fought and killed the 72-pound Labrador retriever and dragged it out into the yard to dine. Fortunately, no small children were handy. Wildlife agents later lured the big cat back to its kill and shot it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Balm.
In 2000, the women's softball team did America proud by pulling through for gold. You, on the other hand, somehow pulled a tricep after trying some weird new swing at the batting cages. Oh! Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
Who's excited for our big road trip?
I'm excited to hear you say bad words when we get lost again.
Now, son, Mommy got Daddy a Garmin Nuvi 780 for Father's Day. Nuvi 780 has preloaded maps so Daddy will never get lost again. And Daddy got this neat subscription to MSN Direct so we can avoid traffic delays, get local weather, and gas prices.
Will you honk the horn with your head again?
It's a new day, son. It's a Garmin Nuvi day.
To receive MSN Direct content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., originating from beautiful San Francisco. Lots to talk about today, great people to talk with, and you're invited to join the conversation whenever you like. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me. I'd love to get your comments, peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll kick off the show in a moment with Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org. Also on the program today, Professor Jonathan Zimmerman from the History Department at NYU. He is urging us to boycott the Olympics by not watching the coverage on American television. We'll find out why. And another professor named Jonathan, also from NYU, will join us in our second hour today. It's Jonathan Haffetz, who is an attorney and legal expert there at the Brennan Center on the Law at New York University. He and others have been representing prisoners. We don't call them detainees anymore. Prisoners at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere in the American Gulag. And we'll get his comment on the Hamdan decision. It's a split decision, not guilty of conspiracy, but guilty of consorting with the enemy or something like that. And, of course, it's a heads I win, tails you lose situation, because Hamdan will remain indefinitely at Guantanamo Bay. Congresswoman Barbara Lee will join us in our second hour, direct from Mexico City, where she is attending an AIDS conference, an international AIDS conference. And while it's great to see that Bill Clinton and even George W. Bush have been paying attention to AIDS issues in Africa, there are problems screaming, particularly from the African-American communities in this country, because of AIDS. And Mel Goodman, who wrote the book about the CIA called Failure of Intelligence, will join us as we kick off the Free Speech Zone in our third hour today and talk about, did the CIA get an instruction from the White House to forge a document to try to concoct a connection between 9/11 and Saddam? And did the head of the FBI get chewed out by George W. Bush for failing to come up with a connection between the anthrax attacks and Al-Qaeda? We'll discuss that all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to pause for a moment because it was 7 years ago today when the most vacationed president in recent American history was down there at the ranch in Crawford riding his bike, chopping some wood, and just sweltering. And that's the day that Rice delivered the memo. Al-Qaeda intends to attack in this country. Bush went for a bike ride. Eric Bollert writes for Media Matters. He's one of the fine folks there who monitors the corporate media. And when they err, and occasionally they do err, Media Matters is there with the correctives. Eric, how are you today?
Good, and you, Peter?
Not too bad. Good to talk with you again. I want to get down to this new book that's coming out of the Swift Boat territory against the Barack Obama, very critical biography. But first, an interesting thing happened this week. Dana Milbank, who's one of my least favorite snarky people in the media, and I recently criticized him for a really snarky column about the non-impeachment hearings before the House Judiciary Committee. He was dinged by Keith Olbermann, and now he doesn't work at MSNBC as a contributor anymore. He's across the street at CNN. And this is a very interesting story because many people know that there were some comments that Barack Obama made about how he, you know, feels that this is not just about him, that he's become a symbol for change. And what Dana Milbank did was eliminate the middle of the Obama quote, which made him look, well, like the right wing likes to make him look. And this was a very bad piece of editing by Dana Milbank. And apparently behind the scenes, Olbermann and his staff called him on it. And Olbermann said that Milbank's move to CNN solved a problem for them because they were not willing to have Milbank back on Olbermann's show until he either apologized or explained why he had published that piece. And Eric, do you have a comment?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The, it's interesting that quote, that whole quote was lifted secondhand. It was originally reported in the Washington Post that this is what Obama had said sort of behind closed doors when he was meeting with Democratic congressmen. And then, so there were no reporters in the room, but the Washington Post put it in quotation marks and passed it along as a fact. So that was questionable enough. And number two, what happened was, some people chopped the quote in half, and Dana was one of them, so it would make it look like Obama has this enormously oversized ego.
Right.
So that was a problem in terms of journalism as well.
Mm-hmm.
So when Dana made a move to go to the to CNN, Olbermann wrote a diary up at Daily Kos saying, well, it's sort of like don't let the, you know, the door hit you on the way out type of thing,
right?
Which was sort of like, well, we weren't happy with you anyway. So it's sort of hard to tell how much of this is just ego, because the business has lots of big egos, and it's sort of hard to tell how much is actual concern that MSNBC had. You know, clearly Dana is going to the competition at CNN. He sort of considers it a step up, which I think would probably insult the people at MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting, just sort of a glimpse in sort of what goes on behind the show, and that, you know, these sort of concerns were raised, and now there's lots of back and forth, and Dana saying, well, I started talking to CNN a month ago, so it doesn't really have anything to do with this, but that's sort of how the divorce is playing out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's very interesting. As I mentioned, I think Milbank is a capable guy, but particularly in print, he seems to aspire to the kind of Maureen Dowd type of opinion piece.
Sort of, and waste of talent, waste of energy. It's sort of this very snarky, I'm going to sort of dump on both sides of the aisle. But it's not so much that. It's more like I'm going to make things up regarding people on both sides of the aisle.
Right.
So for me, it just seems sort of like a total waste of space, and I didn't really understand why he was on Countdown, which clearly has this much more of a progressive left imprint.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't see Dana Milbank in any way, shape, or form representing anything that liberals have to do with.
Right.
So to me, it seemed like an odd fit. And now they'll have to find someone else.
Well, now there's more time for Pat Buchanan.
Well, at least you know Pat is like, Pat's going to be the opposite of Rachel Maddow. Pat's going to be, you know, but Dan Milbank, I don't know, was he just sort of a middle-of-the-road guy? Was the show sort of pretending that he had liberal leanings?
Right.
You know, and this didn't come up, but just in the last, you know, week or 10 days, Milbank wrote a column that really teed off. Oh, I'm sorry. It might have been the same one where he was talking. It was the same one where he talks about, you know, he labeled very up high, calling Obama presumptuous,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. Just sort of playing into that arrogant narrative that the press has adopted. And I don't know why he had to be on MSNBC to sort of spread that around.
Eric Bollert is with us from Media Matters. Website is mediamatters.org. And I'm looking at your column that you just posted there, Eric, about the media coverage of McCain. Interesting, a Pew poll published today says that by a large margin, Americans are hearing too much about Barack Obama, and they don't feel the same way about John McCain.
Right.
This is a fascinating perception, and certainly Obama got a lot of attention for
yep.
his photo op tour of the Middle East and Europe. But I've never really seen a poll that shows that people think they're hearing too much about a particular candidate.
Yeah, I haven't either, and it seems like two things. One, there are way too many polls. I mean, why do you need four presidential polls released in every week in June and July and August? But I think this poll shows that, you know, people are desperate to sort of come up with an interesting question to ask, and so I think they sort of stretch a little bit and they come up with creative wording, and you get this response. I mean, if I remember correctly, I mean the response rate for too much Obama coverage was like in the high 40s, and
mm-hmm.
maybe McCain was in the mid 30s. I mean, it wasn't gigantic, but the sort of the headline was that, you know, people are fatigued about Obama. That said, you know, I guess there is a downside to too much press. If people think there is too much press, and
mm-hmm.
I think the larger point is that you know, the media beast, the media machine has been geared up to cover this campaign literally since January 1st this year, to cover it every day as if it's the day before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go online, you look at all the mainstream media sites and cable TV, May, June, you would think Election Day is tomorrow. We've never seen anything like this, particularly cable news channels, 13, 14, 15 hours of campaign coverage.
Right.
You know, 100, 200 days before the campaign. So
we're down to 92 now.
I'm not surprised people are fatigued. I'm fatigued. I was fatigued a year ago, and I do this for my job. So,
and Eric, let me just lift a paragraph here because I
yep.
think this is the payoff here. You're talking about McCain whining about how he hasn't been getting enough attention from the media.
Yeah.
And you wrote, "Let me put it another way. When McCain gets regularly portrayed in the press as a serial liar, the way Al Gore was in 2000, then he can complain. When McCain is portrayed as an angry lunatic, the way Howard Dean was in 2003, then he can complain. When McCain's war record is dragged through the mud while the press looks on for weeks, too frightened to call out the partisan accusers, the way Kerry's military record was, then he can complain. When McCain's campaign is defined by his haircut, the way John Edwards was, then he can complain. When McCain is portrayed as a cackling witch, the way Hillary was this winter, then he can complain. And when he's portrayed as arrogant and presumptuous, the way Obama is today, then he can complain." That's very well
put. Yeah, it really was amazing to me in the last week or so. I mean, the McCain campaign complaining for weeks and months that Obama was getting too much coverage, and that was sort of the ongoing debate. Within the last week or so, the McCain campaign and some of the press adopted this idea that not only was the press being too nice to Obama, but they had turned on McCain. McCain, who had once been this media darling, was now getting beat up. He was being bullied. He was getting piled on.
And, of course, the Brittany Paris commercial really helped establish the cred of the McCain campaign.
Ask any of these Democrats who have run a list cycle, four cycles, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, they would pay for the kind of coverage McCain has been showered with. And to suggest that he's been being beat up by the press, you know, just sit down with Al Gore for half an hour, and he'll describe you what being beat up in a presidential campaign by the press feels like.
We're going to take a break. Return with Eric Bollard. Visit MediaMatters.org, and as we continue, we'll talk about attempts to swift vote Barack Obama here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Kenneth writes, change he wants in 08 is to have my wife not yell at me all the time.
Kenneth, that's her job.
Women are verbal.
We could be total silence, not a word. Man, what bondage you and me.
You walk into a room with two women sitting in total silence, you better leave. I was doing a show in Sacramento last week, and there was a couple in front that said they've been married 30 years. And I asked the guy, what kind of behavior can possibly make a marriage last 30 years? And this guy goes, ask her.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, their website, mediamatters.org. And Eric, it was a poor judgment. I was trapped in a hotel in Wisconsin, and I couldn't resist the urge. I turned on the Fox News channel, and there was Sean Hannity trotting out Jerome Corsi, who I learned was the guy behind the Swift Boat book that Sean Hannity took so much credit for publicizing back in 2004. And here he is with a brand new book, and his publicist's already been in touch with me, breathlessly offering Jerome Corsi for an interview about the new book, The Obama Nation. And at Media Matters, you've taken a close look at this book. Anything wrong with it?
Well, just a few things. It's interesting. I mean, it's literally 4 years ago to the week, first week in August, when the Swift Boat story started to break. And Corsi was a co-author with John O'Neill of the Kerry book on Fit for Command. Although, after I say that, I have to take it back because in 2004 we learned Media Matters was the first to point out that Jerome Corsi had spent much time before the book posting all sorts of hate speech on the internet, attacking Catholics and Hillary Clinton and just sort of vicious, rude language. And after Media Matters pointed that out, John O'Neill went on TV and said, "Oh, Jerome Corsi's name is on the cover, but he didn't help me write it. He just helped me edit it." So that was his role in the Swift Boat book, and now he's come back on his own. He got a book deal with Simon & Schuster to write the Obama book, Obama Nation. It's not a biography. It's really just Corsi reading Obama's books and looking through clips and basically trying to read between the lines and create a rather, you know, a sinister portrait of Barack Obama. Certainly there were no allegations as powerful as, you know, John Kerry lied about his war record, which mm-hmm. is what we went through in 2004. But there are sort of all kinds of small and misleading errors in the book. For instance, one of the first the Media Matters noticed was, you know, Corsi wrote that Barack Obama has never said when he stopped using drugs, because as a young man he's admitted you know, recreational use, and mm-hmm. so of course he's a suggestion as well, you know, we never know when he stopped. Who knows when he stopped? Maybe he was still doing it as a grown man. But in Obama's book, he wrote specifically, you know, he stopped when he moved to New York City to attend Columbia University, you know, when he was essentially a young man. So that's just sort of a small but telling example of course, he's not really letting the facts get in the way of the story he wants to tell. He spends an inordinate amount of time on Obama's youth. Mm-hmm. And on Obama's family,
the parents, biography.
He didn't pick up a microphone and you know, head out into the field and start right. interviewing people. It's just sort of trying to cast aspersions about, you know, what Obama's youth was mm-hmm. growing up in Indonesia and other places.
And he makes a false
frankly,
claim.
I think it really is. I just think this sort of this holy grail that keeps conservatives up at night. They have this dream of somehow finding evidence that Obama is somehow a Muslim, which I think they think would knock him out of the race. So they spend an awful lot of time sort of reading between the lines about Obama's youth and Obama's father and things like that.
And the claim is that the parents divorced according to Sharia law. Isn't divorce impossible in Islam?
Yeah, I mean, of course, when I mentioned the postings he did prior to 2004, just sort of, you know, really tasteless postings, and I'm almost sure some of it was definitely, you know, Islamophobic type of stuff. And so, yeah, he sort of leans on this notion about Islamic law and Sharia. And again, I think it's just to sort of cast this doubt or cast aspersions or sort of portray Obama as growing up and, you know, as part of the Muslim religion. And, you know, that in and of itself, of course, there's nothing wrong, but conservatives want to do it to paint him as some sort of Manchurian candidate, so that's why you have to, you know, be very vigilant about this stuff. Media Matters has been all over this week and been monitoring the book and the appearances. And the good part is, in terms of mainstream media coverage, the book has generated almost none.
Mm-hmm.
And when Corsi was on MSNBC the other day, you know, the anchor was basically reading him back Media Matters critique. So I think that is the premise based on Corsi's history and what he's produced in the past, that he should be seen as basically a partisan hitman and should be viewed
a merchant of slime.
And so far that's happening, which is good.
Eric Bullard, Media Matters. Thanks, Eric.
I'll talk to you soon.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Walgreens, the pharmacy America has trusted since 1901. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Radios used to be big. There were console radios like furniture in almost every American living room. The family would gather around to listen to the great radio shows of that era. Then came car radios and portable ones small enough to put a handle on that you could carry around. And then with transistors, radios kept getting smaller and smaller, becoming more and more ubiquitous. And now, researchers at the University of Illinois have built a transistor radio tinier than a grain of sand. I have a few problems about that, actually, which I'll talk about after this for Walgreens. Whatever your plans for the summer, whether you're picnicking at the park, headed to the beach, or flying across the country, you can get easy prescription refill service at any Walgreens. Walgreens has thousands of locations nationwide, and many open 24 hours. Because all of these pharmacies are connected, you'll find convenient prescription service at any location. That means any Walgreens you visit is your Walgreens. To find the one nearest to you, call 1-800-WALGREENS today.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply...
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial and get unlimited movie rentals. Netflix. See terms of use.
The idea of a radio smaller than a grain of sand may be a good idea, but it's not a great idea, if you ask me. Professor John Rogers says he and his colleagues never meant to really market such radios. Their goal is to develop nanotubes as a higher-performing semiconductor. Well, that's good, because a radio smaller than a grain of sand would get lost all the time. You could never remember where you put it. We can't even find the TV remote half the time. And if you took a grain of sand radio to the beach, well, you can imagine what would happen. People sorting through the sand, trying to find the grain the voices were coming from. Like Horton the elephant trying to find the clover with the speck that contains Whoville. Rogers, whose study appears in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, says that his teeny tiny radios are just a showcase for a new way to make carbon nanotubes in strands that he says are 100,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair. That's pretty small. The first teensy-weensy, built and tested at Northrop Grumman Electronics in Linthicum, Maryland, picked up a Baltimore station's traffic reports. What hath God wrought? Maybe they could pick up the Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And a shout out to our nighttime listeners on Green 960 in San Francisco. I don't know how you do it, staying up all night. It has probably not escaped your notice that Friday, 8-8-0-8, is the launch of the Summer Olympics from Beijing, China. And for weeks, you've been hearing the news about the pollution problems they have, about the awful earthquake that happened a couple of months back in Sichuan province. You've heard that the American reporters who've gone there have found that the promise of unlimited access to the Internet has not been kept. And there are a number of factors that have surfaced just in the last couple of days. Joey Cheek, an American speed skater who won a gold medal in 2006, was on his way from Washington to Beijing when he learned that his visa had been withdrawn. Why? Well, he is the head of a group of Olympians called Team Darfur. And he was going to Beijing to try to rally more support against China's influence and China's support for the government of Sudan. And he will not be permitted there. Also, in the Kashgar area, which is in the very west of China, the Muslim group called Uyghurs are being accused of an attack on a police group, where 16 of the officers were killed, and two Japanese reporters attempting to cover those events in western China were detained and beaten by police. So things are tough in China, and with that as a backdrop, we are bringing on right now Professor Jonathan Zimmerman. He is a history professor at New York University and the author of Small Wonder, The Little Red Schoolhouse in History and Memory. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to talk with you. And
you.
I invited you because I read your op-ed piece that was published a couple of days ago in the San Francisco Chronicle, and you're encouraging people to boycott the Olympic Games by either changing the channel or just turning off the boob tube.
Yeah, at this stage, I think it's really all that we can do. It's all that we can do to try to note our objection and also to create a kind of legacy. That is, you know, as a historian, I think a lot about how we will be remembered because people will write our story. And I think that one question they'll ask about us, about the world, is how we let this Olympics happen. And one of the things I want my kids to be able to say when that question comes up is that, you know, not all of us accepted it or watched. Because we objected to the kind of raw cynicism that surrounds the event and to all the things that China is doing to use it to burnish itself.
But the response will be, gosh, it's just about sports, and this is an opportunity for international connections and to build, you know, new bonds and networks based on positive things.
Well, you know, those are two different objections. You know, this is just about sports. You know, often that one will come in the form of, why do you have to politicize it? It's just about sports. Of course, this is specious to a historian because the Olympics have always been about politics. Asking them not to be about politics is like asking an unmarried man not to be a bachelor. By definition, they're political. With respect to shining light on China, you know, that was the argument in 2001 when the IOC awarded the games to Beijing. And I think in many ways it was a compelling argument, you know. The other thing historians don't like to do is predict the future. And if in 2001 somebody had said to you, look, this is a really good idea because it will bring more openness to China, I think, you know, maybe I could have been persuaded. Now, whether it's turned out that way or not is a different story. I mean, one could argue that, for example, because of the Olympics, the problem in Tibet has received much more international attention than it otherwise would have. And that's a good thing. On the other hand, in no sense have the Olympics encouraged or required the Chinese to open up their society, especially to dissent. That was, of course, one of the promises that they made, and that promise has been, shall we say, radically unfulfilled.
Professor Jonathan Zimmerman with us, professor of educational history at New York University. And can I take you way, way back to the last century, Professor? In the 1990s, there was the whole struggle as Bill Clinton sought to eliminate the annual renewal of most favored nation status for China. And to her credit, the current speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who was then just a member of Congress from San Francisco, led the charge each year to try to prevent China from getting renewal of that. And she linked it to human rights abuses and demands for change. And essentially she lost in that ongoing struggle. After 3 or 4 years, Clinton made the case that so-called constructive engagement, essentially just infusing China with capitalism, would basically break down these barriers and lead to openings toward, if not democracy, at least more citizen participation in the governance of China. And I'm one of those people who believes that that was a serious mistake, and that both economically and politically, we have suffered because of the compromises we made on human rights.
You know, I think there's a very strong case to be made for that. The history is even more grim than the very eloquent one you just gave. In fact, when Clinton came into office, he came in slamming Bush Sr. For being so weak on China. And basically for rolling over for them. You know, the idea was, the Clinton idea was that Bush Sr. had been an ambassador to China and was sort of kind of in their clutches,
yeah.
You know, wouldn't stand up to them. And then, indeed, Clinton's policy on China ended up looking exactly like Bush Sr.'s. And our country's policy has really not wavered since then. You know, it's a complicated question because, you know, one of the articles of faith for a lot of people in the 20th century was that capitalism would bring with it democracy. That as soon as you gave people the freedom to buy and sell, you know, that eventually what they would get is a freedom to speak their mind. Well, I think China is a really good example of how specious that is. I mean, even the idea that these policies have brought economic prosperity is complicated because obviously we're talking about an enormous nation with huge divisions inside of it. Also, it's quite related to the issue of democracy insofar as a major break, a major drag in the Chinese economy is clearly the presence of corruption. And that's deeply tied to the absence of accountability and democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about how great China is doing economically, but the Chinese well know that they would be doing that much greater if it weren't for the drag of corruption in their economy. And the corruption is tied to, the lack of democracy.
Well, and also the fact, Professor, that we have offshore jobs to China. We have become dependent on the very cheap imports, many of which don't rise to our consumer standards. Just look at the toy recalls, the lead paint, the antifreeze in cat food. The list goes on and on, and these are just recent. And plus, we have become a debtor nation to China because of the massive trade deficit, almost $1 trillion, just under that each year. And so, you know, by giving up the cudgel of most favored nation status and the annual negotiations that permitted, I believe we've lost a great deal over time, and that's even separate from our own decline as a standard bearer for human rights.
Well, you know, I think these are great points, and I'd probably concede to all of them. The only thing that I would add. You know, you mentioned human rights at the end. Although I don't disagree with what you're saying about trade and the other factors, it seems to me that this particular juncture, this week, is an opportunity to really focus in a kind of single-minded, almost simplistic way on the human rights question. You know, I've gotten a lot of email over the past couple of days on this subject, as you might guess, and a lot of people on the political left in our country will write to me and say things like, well, how can you criticize what the Chinese are doing in Tibet given what we're doing in Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
And as I pointed out in my piece, I'm no friend of American policies in Iraq, but there is a vital difference that all of us have to underscore, all of us, right now, and here's what it is. I can go on the radio with you this evening and criticize the war in Iraq. People in China, both Han Chinese and Tibetans, do not have the right to criticize Chinese policy in Tibet. And you can't conceive of a more naked, a more basic distinction than that. And I think that's what we should all be focused on.
Well, unfortunately, I certainly agree with your point, but we're catching up. given the FISA amendments that Democrats, were complicit in, the regularizing of this illegal surveillance of American citizens, and I would agree that our press is very different. It's not controlled by the state, but the corporate influences often limit access and diversity of viewpoints and voices, and we see time and time again that our media has carried water and water filled with lies, if that doesn't call the metaphor police, I don't know what will, but you know what I mean.
Oh, without question. And look, you know, again, far be it from me to defend anything that the United States has done recently in the Middle East. But the larger point is, without the right to criticize, even the corporate influences that you're describing get off scot-free. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really elemental and basic thing. It doesn't make us perfect, but without that right, nothing changes.
And just another example to buttress your point, Professor, the victims of Hurricane Katrina have been ignored. We have under-delivered in terms of repairing that part of the country and restoring it to the pre-hurricane conditions. But those people are permitted to speak out. The media may ignore them, but they will not be arrested for challenging the government for its failure to respond, for the formaldehyde in the trailers, and other issues like that.
Absolutely.
But in Sichuan province, where this devastating series of earthquakes hit earlier this year, they have imposed silence, sometimes by buying people off, and sometimes by threatening them or locking them up.
No, I think that's a great distinction. And, you know, people have won Pulitzers, you know, reporting on the aftermath of Katrina. And nobody yet has won a Pulitzer reporting about the earthquake because you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Professor Jonathan Zimmerman from New York University. Now, what happens if Friday, when the opening ceremonies are going to be broadcast in prime time, if I turn off the tube, Professor, what message am I sending?
Well, you know, I think it's fair to say that the message with respect to the immediate present is a completely symbolic one. I don't expect that people turning off their TVs will have any immediate effect on what's going on in Beijing. Again, my concern is the long range. You know, my concern is not this Olympics. It's Olympics down the road. And it does seem to me that if enough people refuse to watch, we would certainly get the attention of the International Olympic Committee, because their bread and butter, or I guess a better metaphor is their lifeblood, is broadcast fees.
Mm-hmm.
And
900 million, as you cite,
right,
from NBC alone.
Fees are all calculated on the basis of how many people watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, they've already been paid. It's not that by turning off your TV you're going to deprive anyone of revenue this time around.
Well, just a minute, Professor. In fact, the way that network advertising operates is that NBC has guaranteed, say, Coca-Cola, a certain level of viewers.
Oh, that's right.
And if they don't deliver that level of viewers, what happens is Coca-Cola either gets a partial refund or they get what are called make goods. They get additional.
Right, they get a cut. No, that's an excellent point, you know, and I should have made that in my piece. So it's not out of the question that that sort of thing could happen. I would rather doubt it, frankly, just given the late date of all of this. But if you take the long view, it seems to me quite plausible that down the road, the IOC might be much less likely to award the games to a dictatorship if they saw that, you know, people weren't going to watch or fewer mm-hmm. people going to watch, and therefore, you know, their fee was going to come down.
Yeah, but I do think it's a fundamental issue, and it's one that Americans should understand, that the networks do know how many people watch, and
oh, yeah.
when it falls below a certain level, shows get canceled, they get moved, they get changed, and this is the power that we have, the power
Definitely.
To change the channel and to say no to bad programming, because that's the only thing the big corporate networks understand.
Right.
We're going to take.
I think that's an excellent point.
We're going to take a break and return. Professor Jonathan Zimmerman with us, professor of educational history at New York University, and we've got another NYU professor named Jonathan coming up next hour. Jonathan Hafitz from the New York University Brennan Center for the Law. We'll talk about the Hamdan decision at Gitmo. Your calls and comments are welcome. Are you prepared to turn off the Olympics and send a message?
I'd like to hear from you at 888-5.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Folks, to know more about today's opportunity in gold, call 888-302-7111 for Lear's Complete Gold Investment Kit. It's free with no obligation. The investment kit will show you how easy gold is to buy and sell, even how to own gold in your IRA or retirement account. And be sure to look for our top recommendations. Call 888-302-7111 now, and you'll also get our latest CD titled Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero, but Could Double in Price Again. That's a $29 value, absolutely free. Folks, for 5 years, gold investments have been consistent winners, outperforming stocks by 500%, and experts say this bull market has just begun. Some expect gold to rise over $2,000 an ounce. Remember, in today's uncertain markets, gold is the only investment that has a 5,000-year history and has never been worth zero. Compare that to other alternatives in today's economy. Call 888-302-7111 today. The Gold Investment Kit, our top recommendations, and the CD Why Gold Has Never Been Worth Zero but Could Double in Price Again. Materials are free, but supplies are limited. Call 888-302-7111 now.
Iggy Pop. Sad news out of Detroit. The Iggy Pop Stooges reunion tour had their equipment van broken into and somebody stole the amplifiers. Iggy, unplugged? Perish the thought. Are you ready to swear off watching the Olympics on television to send a message to China and to our networks? I'd like to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The televised boycott, the idea of Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of educational history at New York University, and he penned an op-ed piece that I found in the San Francisco Chronicle just a couple of days ago. Hal joins us from Coos Bay, listening on the mighty KBBR. Hello, Hal.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
First of all, for me not watching the Olympics, that's a no-brainer. I don't ever watch them, but I've already done that. What I can, not watching the corporate NBC thing either. I used to like Meet the Press when Tim Russert was on, but
Saint Tim.
but I tell you what, the last couple times that Tom Brokaw was doing it, I mean, he is just so milquetoast. They don't even ask anything pertinent. It just makes me just so mad. But I just had one subtle point as far as the China thing. You were talking about their lack of, you know, their censorship of coverage on the earthquake recently. But wasn't it better than their coverage of the earthquake prior to that? And at least they allowed people in to do some, I don't know if they allowed people into the country, but they at least opened up a little bit better on this last earthquake than, say, what is that, Miramar or whatever?
Myanmar. Yeah, the former Burma. Well, let's get a comment from Professor Zimmerman. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's an interesting point that the caller's making. I do think that there is some evidence that in different places that the Chinese have opened or have had to open certain media channels, you know, that they never had to open before. But I think the larger point is in the absence of any set of rules or accountability, they can just as easily shut off those same channels. And that seems to be more or less what happened with respect to the earthquake. You know, given the pervasiveness of cell phone and cell phone pictures, it's really impossible now for the Chinese to create a news blackout after an event like that.
Aren't they also trying to do that with the internet? And how is that going?
Yes. Well, again, you know, they're doing what they can. The last figure I saw is that they employ 30,000 minders. That is, there are 30,000 people whose job it is just to mine the internet.
Yeah.
But that's a rather small number if you think about a country with more than a billion people. I have no idea how many of those people go online. So you know, the question I think the caller is raising is, does the new degree of openness reflect anything like a governmental decision to be more open, or is it simply the inevitable byproduct of these technologies which the government is trying to control but can't in a way it would like to?
Yeah, well, I was also wondering if that also is true with a government that is trying to have so much control as China's government always has, as to whether the youth and the capitalization, which I'm not all that for, but even those factors play into a point where the government is going to have harder and harder time to control it.
Yeah, you know, although what's fascinating, the New Yorker had a really interesting essay recently interviewing kind of young bourgeoisie in cities like Shanghai. And they're extremely strong nationalists. And as best we can tell, it's always hard to determine these things, in a country that lacks civil liberties. But as best we can tell, quite supportive of the regime. You know, I think it's really important to emphasize that we don't have evidence of widespread resistance to the people that run China. By widespread, I mean we don't, you know, we don't have evidence that it is a deeply unpopular regime.
Hal, thank you for your call and comment today, and I'll just add that Google and Yahoo have joined forces with Rupert Murdoch and the News Corporation to accept the censorship and other limitations imposed by the Chinese government on free dissemination of information.
That's
Professor,
exactly right.
I wanted to get your thoughts just about President Bush. Hardly a champion of human rights, in my view, but he chose to go to the opening ceremonies and spend a few days in Beijing, and other world leaders have declined. What do you think he should have done?
I think he should have done exactly what the leaders of Poland and Germany are doing, which is just not go. Look, it's just the opening ceremony. It does have a certain symbolic import, and I think that import has been enhanced by the fact that some Western democracies are refusing to send their leader. I just don't see why Bush won't join them. Of course, his retort is, you know, this is about sports, not about politics, but please, I mean, that's just straight out of the Chinese regime's playbook.
Well, I don't think the Texas Rangers have a representative there, do they?
It's just, I mean, it almost doesn't credit a response. I mean, look, anything the president does is going to be political. If George Bush decides to go to this opening ceremony, it's a political act. And if he doesn't, it's a political act.
Mm-hmm.
So to call one decision political and the other not is just absurd.
Very well put. Professor, thanks for joining us today. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Jonathan Zimmerman from New York University, and his book is called Small Wonder, The Little Red Schoolhouse in History and Memory. Coming up, another Jonathan, another professor, another guy from New York University, but a different subject. Jonathan Hafitz returns to talk about the verdict in the Hamdan case at Guantanamo Bay. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. I invite you to share a podcast with a friend. Grab the link on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Prosecutors closed the books on the anthrax case.
We are confident that Dr. Ivins was the only person responsible for these attacks.
At the trial of Osama bin Laden's driver, a split verdict.
They did not convict Hamdan of all of the charges against him. They rejected the conspiracy charge.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. More than a week after Bruce Ivins committed suicide, the government has laid out its case against him in the deadly 2001 anthrax attacks. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
With their suspect dead by his own hand, federal officials released their evidence against Army scientist Bruce Ivins and said the case is closed.
We stand here today firmly convinced that we have the person who committed those attacks, and we are confident that had this gone to trial, we would have proved him guilty.
The case is circumstantial, said U.S. Attorney Jeff Taylor, but solid.
There's plenty of evidence in this case of all types. We have a flask that's effectively the murder weapon from which those spores were taken.
New scientific methods not available in 2001 tracked the anthrax sent through the mail to a flask in Ivan's lab. They say he couldn't explain his late-night work there. As to why, they say he had serious mental problems, was paranoid and delusional, and perhaps wanted to prove the anthrax vaccine he was working on was really needed. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
Ivan's lawyers have issued a statement calling the government's press conference an orchestrated dance of carefully worded statements, heaps of innuendo, and a staggering lack of real evidence. Victim David Hose, who was exposed to anthrax as he sorted mail at the State Department, is not persuaded that Ivan's acted alone.
I don't think this man did it by himself, by any means. I think he worked on the anthrax itself within Fort Detrick, but I don't think he did this.
The attacks killed five people. Now this.
Hi, we're Shadaisy.
Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home.
And to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
It was the first war crimes trial at Guantanamo Bay. Salim Hamdan, a Yemeni who once served as Osama bin Laden's driver, has been convicted of supporting terrorism by a jury of six U.S. military officers, but acquitted on a conspiracy charge. ACLU lawyer Ben Wisner was in the courtroom when the verdict came in.
It was a very emotional moment, I think, for all the parties, especially Mr. Hamdan, who put his head in his hands and appeared to be weeping.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Bush administration is pleased with the trial outcome, even though Hamdan was acquitted on the most serious charge. A spokesman says the military commission system is a fair and appropriate way to prosecute terror suspects. It was the first test of the controversial military tribunal authorized by the president to try foreign captives on terrorism charges away from the civilian courts. Now the White House looks ahead to pursuing the same legal strategy in other cases moving closer to trial.
As for Hamdan, CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen says there's a long way to go.
There is plenty for the civilian courts to pick over when this case comes up on appeal. Was it fair that Hamdan never got a chance to directly confront his accusers, that some of the witnesses against him were secret, that his own witnesses couldn't come to court? All of these questions mean that the final resolution of this case won't occur for years.
Firefighters in Northern California have suffered a tragedy. FAA spokesman Ian Greger says a helicopter carrying 11 firefighters and two crew members went down in the mountains about 215 miles northwest of Sacramento.
The helicopter caught fire after crashing. Four of the people on board were critically burned. The other nine are missing and we believe were killed in the wreck.
At a time when the United States is posting record deficits, the Government Accountability Office says Iraq is running a surplus. Something wrong there, says Democratic Senator Carl Levin.
Iraq is selling all this oil, some of it to us, for a huge amount of money, building up this big surplus. They had $50 billion in 2008 alone. They stashed this money away in banks while we're paying for the reconstruction.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Great moments in Olympic history from Tiger Balm.
In 1996, Carl Lewis defied Father Time by taking home the gold in the long jump. You, on the other hand, defied physics and strained your back with some crazy yoga pose intended to catch the eye of a young lady.
Oh!
Nice job.
Tiger Balm is the natural way to conquer pain. 100-year formula, trusted by athletes from more than 100 countries. Tiger Balm works where it hurts. Available everywhere.
At Ace Hardware, whether it's in our stores or out in the community, helping people is what we do. Through our New Faces for Helpful Places program, Ace has provided makeovers to nearly 30 community organizations across the country. To nominate a helpful place in your neighborhood for a $10,000 renovation, go to acehardware.com. Ace, the helpful place. No purchase necessary. Must be a legal U.S. resident, 21 or older. Void where prohibited. Ends August 31st, 2008. For official rules, go to acehardware.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
At Guantanamo Bay, the Kangaroo Court, returning a split decision on Osama's driver. Well, it's very interesting. Salim Hamdan was acquitted on some charges, convicted on others. And that was after the Pentagon former chief counsel Jim Haines said, oh, no, 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 we can't have any innocent verdicts at Gitmo. Joining us to comment is a man who has defended those who are detained, often forever, at Guantanamo Bay and other places in the American Gulag, Jonathan Haffetz from the Brennan Center for Law at New York University. Jonathan, welcome back to our program today.
Hi, thanks, Peter.
And congratulations. I understand we can announce your new assignment.
Yes, you can. Not effective yet, but sure.
You're going to join the American Civil Liberties Union and continue to work, I suppose, on these issues related to the unlawful detainees?
Yes, I'm very thrilled about it. It's a wonderful organization to be able to work on these important issues.
And just from your own perspective, I don't know what all your duties are at the Brennan Center, but will this permit you to devote virtually all your time to the casework?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything else you want to add about this transition and what it means to your effort to break through this ugly cycle of American lawbreaking, violation of the international conventions, and the, you know, use of torture and the other kinds of enhanced interrogation techniques, they call them?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a battle that we're all going to continue waging. I'll be waging with the ACLU, with the Brennan Center, very valiantly fought, and will continue to fight, for basic values of American justice that have been so tarnished in the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jonathan, before we get into the details of this, what I consider a kangaroo court operation in the case of Salim Hamdan, did they announce a sentence this afternoon?
I don't believe that they did.
Okay.
They haven't heard of it. It was just the verdict. He faces a potential life sentence, but I don't believe that a sentence has been announced yet.
Okay, because actually, from my perspective, I thought this trial went very quickly. Were you surprised at how brief it was?
It was fairly brief, and the verdict came back fairly quickly. I think the main thing is some of the problems that stuck out on the one hand, and also still do not see any reason why this case could not have been brought in the civilian courts.
Yeah.
It seems to me the other main thing, which would have been much better for all concerned.
Mm-hmm. So, Jonathan, what we came up with here was a split decision, and it's a 6-member military jury, hardly peers of the defendant, some of the testimony and evidence was entered in secret, so the public record does not contain everything that was arrayed against Hamdan, and there's no dispute that he was a driver for Osama bin Laden. But by convicting him of material support to al-Qaeda, they apparently made the case that in driving Osama around, there were also some weapons in the vehicle, like rocket-propelled grenades, and that this was sufficient to convict him.
Yes, that's right. I think it doesn't take, much to convict for this material support, and I think that's correct. And to me, the problem isn't that there's a conviction for what Hamdan did. I mean, the big problem is, I think that the effectively fight terrorism, you need to, fight it at all levels. But the problem, I don't see why this had to be done in this, made up proceeding, which doesn't observe the basic rules of due process. On that, if he was going to be tried, could have been tried in a federal court, or if anything, in a military court martial, an established system instead of this jerry-rigged system that he was tried in, which only brings shame on the United States.
Now, Jonathan Hafitz, as we mentioned, a split decision. He was found not guilty on conspiracy charges. And again, some of this evidence is not public. But what do you know about the evidence that was presented that was not found compelling by this 6-member military jury?
Well, I think the evidence was not found compelling was that Hamdan was anything other than a kind of small fish, that he was, really, a kind of committed terrorist as opposed to someone who just sort of, aided terrorism, that it really was kind of a small fry person. And, it's still stunning that this is the only trial that they've had in more than, almost 7 years. None of the big, none of the alleged major terrorists have been tried. And this is the, this is the, what they show to the world, the world, this guy who was, really just happened to drive, a driver
mm-hmm.
is the showcase trial. Really is kind of a pathetic, pretty pathetic, I think.
And at the same time, you know that the Bush media machinery will play this up as a major notch in our belt in the so-called war on terror.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, because this is, you know, a guy with a fourth grade education, you know, who was basically out there earning a living. You know, it's not saying it's not a crime to assist terrorists, but this guy is someone who is so far from the real major dangers that and the real bad guys that are threaten this country.
Mm-hmm. Did we torture Hamdan?
Well, that's the other big issue. You know, we, you know, he was, you know, he was certainly subjected to torture, or techniques that bordered on torture. That was how much information was extracted from him. Some of that was excluded at the trial. He was also held for, you know, incommunicado for a long period of time. And, you know, the other thing that hangs over this trial, which to me is a, you know, really a statement about, what a sham system it is that even if Hamdan had won, he wouldn't have gone free. He would have just continued to be detained as an enemy combatant, potentially for, you know, to the duration of the war on terror, which could be, you know, the rest of his life. So it's like the idea of being acquitted at trial doesn't mean you're free. It just means you know, you go into another system of a kind of a lawless lockup.
Well, that's what I refer to as the, you know, great posit of justice. Heads we win, tails you lose.
Exactly. It's yeah, to me says it all.
Now, Jonathan, I like your comment on this. I was, you know, breezing through the front section of the New York Times and buried at the bottom of an interior page. Keith Allred, the captain who is presiding over this military tribunal at Guantanamo Bay, has admitted a possible error on jury instructions. And he says that apparently... let's see. Prosecutors said the judge had defined murder in violation of the law of war incorrectly. He did not tell the panel that it would be a violation of the law of war for an unlawful combatant, like a member of Al-Qaeda, to kill a member of an opposing military service during combat. Is this, number one, is it significant? And number two, does it matter because the appeals process from these military tribunals is a joke?
Well, I think it does matter. I think it will. I mean, I think ultimately one day this will be reviewed by a federal court, which is going to be required to clean up the mess. And I think it also presses out an issue, which is and a kind of paradox, that if this is a war, you know, between two sides as opposed to a criminal law enforcement where we are, you know, basically prosecuting terrorists, if this is a war between combatants of one side and combatants of the other side, it is not a violation of the law of war for the other side to simply, you know, kill or shoot at the combatants from in our side. I mean, that's what war is. It just does not a violation of the law of war. Now, if this is a, you know, if we treat as we should terrorism as a crime, it is certainly, you know, illegal for a terrorist to shoot at someone who's, you know, a law enforcement officer or military who are engaging in law enforcement type operations overseas. But if this is really a war between combatants, you know, our side versus their side, it is not a violation of the law of war for them to shoot back.
Jonathan,
that's what combatants do.
What is in the pipeline behind the Hamdan prosecution there in Guantanamo? What can we expect to be paraded between now and November? We have 91 days.
Well, I think that there will be probably more. They were going to try to bring some of the other prosecutions. How quickly they'll go forward, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Omar Khadr, who is the citizen from Canada, who was a 15-year-old or 14-year-old when he was first arrested and brought to Guantanamo, I think is the next one, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's going to be, you know, sort of a bit more of the same. And ultimately, it's going to, this quagmire is just going to continue and confront the next administration.
Mm-hmm. The split decision here with acquittal, at least on some of the charges, does that give you any sense of hope, given the comment that is attributed to Jim Haines, the former Pentagon counsel?
Well, I think it's, you know, it does give, it gives some hope. I think it shows some of the weakness of the government's arguments, that some of the, you know, military actual people who are serving are doing a conscientious job. But I ultimately think it's a sign of, or a lesson in why, in the futility of this whole idea of creating these alternative systems which lack basic protections, which lack legitimacy, when we have entirely good systems of the federal courts or the military court-martials to to, you know, prosecute terrorists.
And I would just want to read a quick quote that Katrina pulled up from ACLU staff attorney Ben Wisner. In the strange world of Guantanamo justice, even if Hamdan had been acquitted on all charges, he would have been detained indefinitely. Nowhere else in the U.S. justice system can someone be held for life, regardless of whether he's convicted or acquitted. Today's outcome represents nothing more than an illusion of justice. It is time to shut down these commissions and put an end to this shameful chapter of American history. We'll take a break and return with Jonathan Hafitz at New York University's Brennan Center on the Law, soon to be joining the ACLU. If you have a question or a comment about the Hamdan trial, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security, investment, white picket fences. Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. Just one accident out there. It's in Prunedale, Morrill Road at San Miguel Canyon Road. Two cars off to the shoulder. CHP's on the scene. And it looks like that's in the final clearing stages. For the Santa Cruz Mountains, that's currently checking and stalling accident-free. Some traffic just beginning to build at the Fish Hook with stop-and-go traffic southbound 1 making your way down into Aptos. Highway 68, so far so good, no problems. And southbound 101, if you are getting out of South San Jose, starting to see those brake lights from about Coyote Creek Golf Drive. And it'll stay stop and go as you make your way down into Morgan Hill this afternoon. This report is brought to you by WAMU. There's never been a better time to save because right now WAMU has great rates on their CD and money market accounts. To learn more, visit one of their 20 WAMU locations in Monterey today. Saving at WAMU. Woohoo! Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show talking about the split decision in the kangaroo court, monkey trial, whatever you want to call this show trial at Guantanamo Bay. Comments coming in from the presidential candidates, Obama, that the Hamdan trial, the first military commission trial with a guilty verdict since 9/11, took several years of legal challenges to secure a conviction for material support, underscores the dangerous flaws in the administration's legal framework. It's time to better protect the American people and our values by bringing swift and sure justice to terrorists through our courts and our uniform code of military justice. And while it's important to convict anyone who provides material support for terrorism, it's long past time to capture or kill Osama bin Laden and the terrorists who murdered nearly 3,000 Americans. This comment from John McCain. I welcome today's guilty verdict in the first trial held under the Military Commissions Act. This process of bringing terrorists to justice, has been too long delayed, but I'm encouraged that it's finally moving forward. I supported that legislation, which was a good faith effort by Congress to meet the Supreme Court's direction to establish a process to bring terrorist detainees to trial. And he closed his statement by saying, the fact that the jury didn't find him guilty of all the charges brought against him demonstrates that they weighed the evidence carefully. Unlike Senator Obama, who voted against the Military Commissions Act and favors giving al-Qaeda terrorists direct access to U.S. civilian courts, I recognize that we cannot treat dangerous terrorists captured on the battlefield as we would common criminals. Jonathan Haffetz, respond to that last comment from Senator McCain. Why does he maintain this phony argument that we cannot bring these people and try them up or down in American courts?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's certainly based on misinformation and I think his political grandstanding attempt to appeal to people's fears and is just flat out wrong. The criminal courts, the federal courts are perfectly capable of trying suspected terrorists. They've done so. They will continue to do so. And the idea that we need an alternative system like the military commission system is misguided. It doesn't it's not about the defendants so much as it is about us and America's commitment to its Constitution, to its values, and the example it wants to set for the world. And we've been, you know, the military commission set exactly the wrong example.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, have you had a chance to read Jane Mayer's new book called The Dark Side?
I've read pieces of it, but I haven't been able to yet to get through the read the whole book, which is it's certainly a hugely important book.
It is, and I have read the whole thing, and I think she did an A-minus job. There are a few criticisms I have, and I'll share them with her when we get to interview Jane Mayer. But the thrust of it really shows that David Addington, who was first counsel to Dick Cheney and then when Scooter Libby was convicted became chief of staff in the vice president's office. He is the real driver behind the torture policies, behind the way they bypass the chain of command and all of the legal military officials in the various services at the Pentagon, the way it was misleadingly presented that this came up from the bottom saying, can we please torture these people, when in fact that was fed from the top saying, please send us a memo asking if you can use these enhanced techniques. I really regard him as the real evildoer here.
Yeah, he is the driving force. I mean, certainly others, you know, people from the Office of Legal Counsel, John Yoo, who aided and abetted, you know, our Vice President Cheney as well. But certainly there was a small group, a cabal within the administration that were the driving force behind it. But, you know, ultimately I think the you can't blame them entirely that the, you know, any, you know, it's the fact that these policies to some extent have been allowed, there's a certain complicity, and I think it's remarkable how responsible they were. But ultimately, it's our job to kind of correct these mistakes and not let them continue.
Mm-hmm. And do you see any process in the future where, in a case related to a Guantanamo inmate, that a person like David Addington could be charged for war crimes or other violations that he committed while serving in office?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's certainly a basis to charge him for war crimes, but whether or not there's a political will to do so will remain to be seen. But I certainly think there would be a basis for doing that. But, you know, to me, the first priority is ending the sham system that he and others have put into place, ending the commissions, you know, closing Guantanamo, trying those who we want to continue to detain in federal courts, and if not, you know, releasing the other people, those who are convicted, we should, you know, sentence and imprison, but, you know, just stop holding people in this legal limbo. That, to me, is the most important thing.
All right. Jonathan Hafitz from the Brennan Center on the Law at New York University, soon to join the ACLU. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Coming up, Paris Hilton makes her first appearance on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why must we be so divided? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Every election year, there are complaints about how the candidates are dividing the nation. They edge into negative, they distort the other guy's record. Why can't we find common ground? There's always a risk in trying to be logical about these things since voting is based on emotion, but let's try to be logical anyway. Let's analyze this term, common ground. What is common ground? Common ground is where you meet to decide whether you're going to talk about your differences or kill each other over them. Implicit in the expression common ground is that the parties who meet on the common ground traveled there from other places, and after they finish the meeting, they're probably going to go back to those other places. So, of course, there are going to be passionate differences in a political campaign, because politics wouldn't be necessary if there weren't. Politics doesn't mean you bury your differences. It just means you murder with words instead of weapons. And there are always going to be negative ads and lies and stereotypes and accusations, because candidates and their supporters are in this not just to fulfill an ideal, but also because the winner gets the good government jobs. Of course people are going to fight. The great thing about elections is that if the fight is vigorous, and if each side has had a decent chance to slime the other, and if people can vote freely, we collectively agree that the loser, rather than whip his disappointed supporters into a frenzy, raise an army, and fight a civil war, goes away quietly to the lecture circuit. So don't stress out over the divisiveness. Just make sure the votes are properly counted. Now this.
If you ride a motorcycle, you might be thinking, oi, Geico customers seem to be having a lot of fun and saving money on their car insurance. But what about us bikers? Why can't we save money? This makes us angry. Let's form a biker gang and go and tell them what for. Oi, hold on. Just call it. Geico insures all sorts of motorcycles like cruisers, street, sport, touring and high-performance bikes. So they're on it. Now let's have a little smile.
Now Geico offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including motorcycles. Call 1-800-44-CYCLE or visit geico.com.
This is Dave Ross of the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes after the hour, and I need your advice. Should I play Paris Hilton's TV commercial? I'm on the fence here. Give me your free advice at 888-5-PETER-B. We try to maintain relatively high standards here on the PBC show. And while I've made jokes about Paris Hilton, you know, I've never really understood the phenomenon. And yet this is kind of entertaining, the way she responded to the McCain commercial that mentions her and Britney Spears and tries to link Obama to them as dumb celebrities. And her pushback is kind of interesting. But can you stand it if we have about a minute and a half of Paris Hilton here on the program today? Call me now with your advice. We'll take calls for 3 minutes, and then I'll decide. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. To Paris or not to Paris? Now, if we do play the clip, I have to let you know that I don't think that one of the points she makes about energy policy is on target. But after all, it's coming from a low IQ Hollywood blonde. All right, I got a caller now. You can be next. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Should we play the Paris Hilton audio or not? Who's this?
Hey, this is Tim, Peter.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
All right, Jim, what do you think?
Oh, I wouldn't mind hearing it. I don't know if I'll get a chance to sit out anywhere else.
Okay. Now, does it add to the appeal that she's kind of lounging by a swimming pool in a bikini?
Oh, is she? Not to me, I don't suppose.
Well, I'm with you on that, Jim. All right. Well, I got one vote so far, and nobody else is voting. They've got a minute and a half at 888-5-PETER-B, and so far we'll be playing the audio from this video piece unless somebody objects. 888-573-8372. Now, I do think it's very interesting because Paris Hilton has been apolitical, and I've made jokes in the past that, oh, to defeat the Military Commissions Act that we were just talking about, or to get attention for some other important piece of legislation, that the corporate media would only really give it decent coverage if a celebrity, an airhead like Paris Hilton, jumped in and took a position. And so it is interesting that she decided, after being used by the McCain campaign to represent an airhead celebrity, that she decided to fight back. And Katrina tells me that she did not write the script that she is about to deliver here, but that a producer did. Oh, we have the Newsweek. I can't switch to that or I'll lose the video. There's a Newsweek story that explains it. Maybe I'll get to that after the video. But it is interesting that Britney Spears, I guess she's still in rehab and doesn't really quite have the wherewithal to respond. But Paris Hilton, after her DUI, her, you know, celebrity trip to prison with all the tabloid coverage, she decided to jump in here. And I think that's interesting in itself. All right. Who's this on line one right now? Go ahead.
This is John. And I think you're missing the whole boat on Paris Hilton comment, you know, her ad. This was all this was done by Karl Rove with John McCain's ad. They had no idea that Paris Hilton would speak out and do it in such a manner that it slams John McCain. And you guys are missing it. You know, you guys should be playing that as much as you can, because it makes tomfoolery of everything that McCain is trying to say about Obama. And I'll tell you what.
Tell me.
If you don't vote for Obama and you vote for McCain, you're getting the same thing, and the 90% of the Republicans ought to be locked up, and Bush and Cheney should be impeached. And with those damn documents that they found yesterday that they backlogged a letter from about the Muhammad Atta and the link to Saddam Hussein,
right.
And that's what you guys should be reporting on 90% of your time.
Yes, sir. John, you're right. I've been slacking off. I apologize. I have let you down.
Not so much you, but the NBC, CBS, all those. All they do is they make a blurb of it, and then they don't do any reporting afterwards. I'm not meaning to chop you or anything like that. You do. I listen to your show, and I love it. You know, but I think, like I said, I think you're missing the boat on this Paris Hilton ad, and all the progressive radio stations should be playing this and making a tomfoolery of the Karl Rove industry of his stupid commercials.
All right, John, message received. Here comes the video. We're going to take this. We're going to play it over and over again all day long. Paris Hilton, all day long. And who did it? Democrats.com set up a Democrats. Let me find it here. Democrats.hilton? Is that what it is? ObamaHilton.com. Check that out at your own peril. There might be a little more skin there than we'll get out of this one. All right. Here it is without further ado. Paris Hilton's response to being singled out in the John McCain ad.
Exclusive. He's the oldest celebrity in the world. Like super old. Old enough to remember when dancing was a sin.
Picture of Larry King and Colonel Sanders.
Bucket. But E.T. ready to lead.
Hey America, I'm Paris Hilton and I'm a celebrity too. Only I'm not from the olden days and I'm not promising change like that other guy. I'm just hot. But then that wrinkly white-haired guy used me in his campaign ad, which I guess means I'm running for president. So thanks for the endorsement, white-haired dude. And I want America to know that I'm, like, totally ready to lead. And
day
now
one?
I want to present my energy policy for America. Just as soon as I finish reading this article, I'm where I can fly to get the best tan.
So she pauses here, picks up the Condé Nast Traveler.
Oh, Maui. Loves it. Okay, so here's my energy policy. Barack wants to focus on new technologies to cut foreign oil dependency, and McCain wants offshore drilling. Well, why don't we do a hybrid of both candidates' ideas?
Oh, here we go with the lose-lose compromise. And listen as Paris weighs in on policy here and misstates that if we drill offshore, we'll lower gas prices.
We can do limited offshore drilling with strict environmental oversight while creating tax incentives to get Detroit making hybrid and electric cars.
Do it the other way around, Paris. Detroit doesn't need 10 years. The oil companies would for the offshore stuff.
That way, the offshore drilling carries us until the new technologies kick in, which will then create new jobs and energy independence. Energy crisis solved. I'll see you at the debates, bitches. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go pick out a vice president. I'm thinking Rihanna. I'll see you at the White House. Oh, and I might paint it pink. I hope that's cool with you guys. Bye.
Gosh, I need a shower. I'm feeling a little hot, but my question is, are we the bitches she's referring to? Are we the bitches we've been waiting for? Wally in Coos Bay is listening on KBBR. Still, I hope. Hi, Wally.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Peter B. We love you. But I just want to say, I think she almost stole my thunder there at the end. But I was going to say Paris for VP.
Paris for VP of the Hilton Hotel chain?
Well,
how about, let's let her get started at Motel 6 and work her way up.
Okay, I was just going to say either one of them, you know.
All right, Wally, thanks a lot, I think. And Ron in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on these this polling that purports to show the so-called national polls, Pushel McCain right up there, you know. Let me see if I got this right. McCain is... endorsed Bush's train wreck in Iraq, and 70% of the country is against that to start with. And recently, McCain had a town hall meeting, a shoebox-sized place, and they attracted about maybe 60 or 70 people in there, less than half. And, you know, state polls at California have Obama way ahead. So what I'm trying to get at is the national polling idea is bunk. It's malarkey. Mm-hmm. There's 50 separate contests. No national rate. It amounts to clumsy propaganda to try to keep McCain in there.
That's right. You need to go state by state, and you need to look at how those states are likely to turn out in a winner-take-all format.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, furthermore, they're in the dark. They're totally unverifiable, and they're based commie-style crud. I think Rasmussen and them need to publish the names and the addresses. You know, trust don't verify, right?
Do you want the names and addresses of the people who get polled?
So some third party.
Oh, great.
You know.
Then Bill O'Reilly would be stopping off at their house. Michelle Malkin would come by. Sorry, can't do that. Ron, thanks a lot for your call today. We're going to take a break and return. We're expecting a call from Mexico City, where Congresswoman Barbara Lee of Oakland is attending an international AIDS conference. That's straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. Just one accident out there. It's in Prunedale, Moro Road at San Miguel Canyon Road. Two cars off to the shoulder. CHP's on the scene. And it looks like that's in the final clearing stages. For the Santa Cruz Mountains, that's currently checking and stalling accident-free. Some traffic just beginning to build at the Fish Hook with stop-and-go traffic southbound 1 making your way down into Aptos. Highway 68, so far so good, no problems. And southbound 101, if you are getting out of South San Jose, starting to see those brake lights from about Coyote Creek Golf Drive. And it'll stay stop and go as you make your way down into Morgan Hill this afternoon. This report is brought to you by WAMU. There's never been a better time to save, because right now WAMU has great rates on their CD and money market accounts. To learn more, visit one of their 20 WAMU locations in Monterey today. Saving at WAMU. Woohoo! Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The staff and management of Natura Vita welcome all to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas. Learn firsthand about traditional and modern natural health products and practices while enjoying delicious and healthy food in a fun, clean, and family-friendly atmosphere. Smoothies, anyone? Come to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant, conveniently located at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 12 minutes before the hour. Coming up right after the top of the hour, Mel Goodman, a former CIA officer and the author of Failure of Intelligence. We'll talk about Ron Suskind's revelations that the CIA was ordered to create a forged document linking Saddam to 9/11. We're standing by right now for a call from Congresswoman Barbara Lee, the Democrat who represents Oakland, California. And I've got an old file cabinet right across the room from me here that's loaded with political bumper stickers. There's Lick Bush, Jerry Brown 92, We the People. Let's see what else is over there. George Bush is a liar. Impeach Bush, Cheney. FM radio sucks. Kucinich for president. Right below that is the bumper sticker that says, Barbara Lee speaks for me. And on so many issues, that is the case. The lone vote against the Patriot Act. One of the few voices opposing Bush's rush to war in Iraq. And after that bungled political move, she's been one of the leaders trying to provide legislation to get us out of Iraq. Member of the Out of Iraq Caucus, the Progressive Caucus, the Black Caucus. And she's currently in Mexico City, and she's trying to call us right now. We hope to have her on in the next few minutes. But I have to say, whenever we schedule Barbara Lee, she always comes through, even if a little late. And controlling schedules is always a challenge for members like her. But she's attending the 17th Annual AIDS Conference in Mexico City. And to her credit, while embracing the Bush administration's PEPFAR program, PEPFAR stands for President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, which authorizes $48 billion to help people affected with AIDS globally, she took the opportunity of this international forum to remind us that we've got real problems here in America. Quote, however, our progress in combating this disease at home has not met with the same results. As the new numbers from the Centers for Disease Control show, AIDS is still running rampant in America, especially among African Americans and young gay men. A report released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention just 2 days ago reveals that the number of cases reported annually in America is as high as 56,000, far exceeding the 40,000 number reported earlier. And if Black America were its own country, according to a report from the Black AIDS Institute called Left Behind, Black Americans would rank 16th worldwide in the number of people infected, more than in Botswana, Ivory Coast, Lesotho, or Swaziland. And I really respect Barbara Lee. She is proposing to double the HIV prevention budget to $1.3 billion a year, and provide at least $600 million for the Minority AIDS Initiative while expanding funding for treatment under the Ryan White Care Act. And this is an issue that's not top of mind. Remember the health care debate from just a few months ago that was so contentious and Hillary was for mandates and Obama wasn't? When was the last time you saw a campaign commercial or news coverage of the varying positions on health care reform of Obama and McCain? It's been pushed way down the list of priorities, and I'm disappointed by that. And so against that context, that backdrop, Barbara Lee is speaking up and speaking out on a very important issue. So I'm not sure if she'll be able to join us during this segment. If you'd like to dial in and talk with me about AIDS or about Paris Hilton or about anything else that we've been discussing, you're welcome to do so. The number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if the Congresswoman calls in before the end of the program tonight, we'll certainly get her on the air and get her comments. Barbara Lee has also been a stalwart on holding the Bush administration accountable. One of the co-signers of Dennis Kucinich's articles of impeachment. And she's just an all-around real progressive. And that's something we certainly need more of in Washington, D.C. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to dial in, that's 888-573-8372. And if you want to talk to me about maybe you think I misunderstand the importance or the value of Paris Hilton, feel free to straighten me out. Any other topics up for grabs, too. 888-5-PETER-B. Richard in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
I saw a fabulous thing which should have been running for quite some time on PBS last night on Tibet and the 14th Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
And your guest there was speaking about there isn't a lot of movement or dissidence in China these days because they're all in prison.
Well, you know, it's a police state,
the Iranians, I think Russia and China have more people in prison than anybody else in the world.
Well, anyway, actually, we're number one.
Are we number one?
We are. Anyway, it's shameful, but we are number one. We got the gold medal in that category.
There's actually a person who selects the next Dalai Lama who was arrested when him and his family were arrested when they were. He was about six or seven years old, and they've been under house arrest ever since. Nobody knows where they're at or if they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed in this special. I never realized they had killed over a million Tibetans.
Yeah.
And had literally destroyed over 6,000 monasteries.
And the blood is still not completely dry or cleaned up from the crackdown on the monks in Tibet earlier this year. It was brutal.
Well, Bush should be amongst good company if we've killed over a million Iraqis, from what I understand. I mean, I'm not sure what the figure is, and we probably never will know. But, you know, as far as human rights, he doesn't have any ability to say anything to anybody about human rights.
Well, you are correct. And not only has he compromised himself, but he's compromised us as a nation. Because we can no longer point a finger at others and say, oh, you're a violator of human rights. You torture dissidents. You torture people without trial and without due process.
The Dalai Lama was being questioned by this individual that had asked him a question, well, you know, because he believes in, like Gandhi, a peaceful activity, and democracy is coming about in that way. But they asked him, well, what would you do about a Pol Pot or a Hitler? And he said, well, there are certain times in life when you do have to protect yourself, which I thought was a great answer. But it's just amazing that Bush is going there. We've got a war criminal going to a country of war criminals. So what can I say?
Nothing more. Wait, you said it well. Thank you, Richard.
Keep up the good work. You do a great job, Peter.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Now to Pat in Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I really like your show, and I respect your opinion on most things, but I think you missed the boat on Paris Hilton.
Okay, tell me why. I'll tell you, it's a boat I don't mind missing.
Well, it's that attitude. Okay, that's right there.
Okay.
I think you take the whole thing too seriously, and if you talk about her policies and so forth, that isn't the point. You know, and the idea that she's an airhead and everything, I didn't know, you know. And I asked my daughter after we watched this, and I laughed all the way through it and everything, and she said, no, she's really smart. Now, the fact that she plays an airhead and that she comes across the way she does, that's how she's dealing with whatever she's dealing with. And I know she's got all these things, negative things about her. Doesn't make her stupid. A lot of really intelligent people do really stupid things a lot. And who else can talk about McCain like that and get away with it with no criticism? People are going to listen to this. They're going to laugh at it. It's great. I think it should be played over and over again. I think, you know, everybody's just going to enjoy it. But the message about McCain, she didn't even use his name.
Right.
You know, she used Obama's name, but never his name. He's that old white guy. And the bitches you wanted to know about.
Yeah, are we the bitches we've been waiting for?
McCain and Obama. You need to understand the lingo.
Well, maybe somebody can text message me a translation, Pat. I appreciate your comment, and I take it right on the chin. I'm an old fart. I don't get Paris Hilton, and that's
well, I don't either.
Not likely to change.
Well, I don't get her.
All right, thanks a lot. I want to jump to Dave in Eureka. Hey, Dave, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Barbara Lee, she speaks for me, too. But I don't want to put her on the spot, but if you could try to get a comment from her on how she deals with those who can't put impeachment back on the table.
Okay, I sure will, Dave.
All right.
Yep, thanks for your support. Always appreciate your call. Oh, we're going to take a break and return. They're going to put me in the Paris Hilton lockup. I'll be watching that sex video tonight and reruns of... What was that show she had on Fox? See, I never watched it. I guess I've got some work to do. Maybe they should play Paris Hilton tapes at Guantanamo. Anyway, we'll take a break and return with Mel Goodman. Talk about the CIA. Did they rebuff a Bush administration order for a forged document connecting Saddam to 9/11? This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Federal prosecutors say they're convinced that the late Bruce Ivins was responsible for terrorizing the country with anthrax in the mail and that he acted alone. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Taylor says the distinctive anthrax spores were traced back to a flask in Ivins' lab at Fort Detrick, Maryland.
We thoroughly investigated every other person who could have had access to the flask, and we were able to rule out all but Dr. Ivins.
Taylor says Ivins couldn't explain why he worked late at the lab, and several weeks before the first anthrax-laced envelope was mailed in 2001, he'd immunized himself. More from CBS News correspondent Bob Orr.
Investigators say Ivins had earlier lied to them, submitting false samples of anthrax from his lab in order to mislead. His odd behavior also drew suspicions. Just before the deadly letters were mailed, Ivan sent a chilling email to a friend warning, Bin Laden terrorists for sure have anthrax and sarin gas, and have just decreed death to all Jews and all Americans. Strikingly similar, investigators say, to the language of the letters themselves, which read, we have this anthrax, death to America. Death to Israel.
Ivins committed suicide last week as investigators closed in. His lawyers continued to insist he was innocent. One says the government is taking a weird guy and convicting him of mass murder. A U.S. military court at Guantanamo Bay has found Osama bin Laden's one-time driver guilty of supporting terrorism, but Salim Hamdan was acquitted of the more serious conspiracy charge. Hamdan could face life in prison, but as the sentencing phase of the trial began, the judge referred to him as a small player. In Northern California, four people are badly burned and nine are presumed dead after the crash of a helicopter in the Shasta Trinity National Forest. Sharon Haywood is a supervisor.
We use helicopters for transporting fire crews out to the lines, and that's what this helicopter was doing, shuttling fire crews.
They were working at the northern edge of a wildfire that swept over 27 square miles. Barack Obama's trip to the Middle East and Europe may have enhanced his foreign policy credentials, but it didn't help his campaign much. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has the latest CBS News poll.
The poll shows Americans are more concerned about domestic issues.
Voters say that the issue they want the candidates to address the most is the economy and jobs. The war in Iraq is a distant second place.
Deputy Director of Survey Sarah Dutton says Obama's lead is still 45 to McCain's 39%.
That gives Obama a six-point lead, which is just where he was in a poll we conducted earlier in July. Of course, that was before his trip overseas.
And more registered voters believe McCain would be an effective commander-in-chief. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
The price of oil fell to $118 a barrel today, and stocks continued their upward move. The Dow Industrials 40 points higher at 11,656, the NASDAQ up 28. This is CBS News.
Mercedes-Benz is proud to introduce the new 1.99. But the new 1.99 isn't a new car or SUV, it's an APR rate. Available on select certified pre-owned E-Class vehicles at our certified pre-owned sales event. And certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz vehicles feature an extensive 155-point inspection. So you're getting a certified 1.99% APR and a certified 100% Mercedes-Benz. Stop by our CPO sales event today, and remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes dealer, it's not a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz.
1.99% APR for 36 months at $2,864 per month per $1,000 financed on 2005 and 2006 E-Class vehicles. Excludes lease and balloon contracts subject to credit approval. For qualified customers only through Mercedes-Benz Financial participating dealers through September 30, 2008. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles. See dealer for complete program and pre-owned limited warranty details.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Check out our exciting model lineup by visiting your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer or visit us today at mbusa.com.
Investigators have raided three Southern California medical centers and arrested two suspects in a scheme that allegedly billed government programs for millions in fraudulent charges. KNX Radio's Claudia Pescuda has the story.
Los Angeles City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo claims the hospitals were part of an elaborate scheme to boost profits by filling empty hospital beds with homeless people. He says they were recruited on the streets of Skid Row, diagnosed with bogus health problems, and hospitalized for unnecessary, sometimes harmful medical treatments.
It was simply profit over people.
One top hospital executive and the operator of a Skid Row assessment center have been arrested on federal fraud charges.
If convicted, they face decades in federal prison.
U.S. Attorney Thomas O'Brien says the investigation continues and more people may be charged. Claudia Pescuta, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A week after the University of Florida was named the nation's top party school, administrators have proposed a new code of conduct that would ban drinking games and keg parties, fraternities and sororities included. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, we're Shadazy. Now, being on tour is great, but after 23 days, we can't wait to get home
and to our own Sleep Number beds. The tougher your days, the more you deserve a Sleep Number night. It's the only bed that lets you adjust your Sleep Number setting at the touch of a button. A higher Sleep Number setting for more firmness, a lower number for softer support. And since every day is different, you can always find your perfect Sleep Number anytime. Because the most comfortable sleep is the one you control yourself. Experience the difference a Sleep Number bed makes every night. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com to find any one of our 450 stores. Sleep Number by Select Comfort. It's the bed that counts. Enjoy cool summer savings on all Sleep Number beds. Twin mattresses start at only $449. Hurry in. Call 1-800-SLEEP-NUMBER or visit sleepnumber.com today for a store near you.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter V. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-V and add your voice to Peter V's America.
Well, I'm sure on the wrong side of the Paris Hilton paradigm. We're heading into the free speech zone. We'll be taking more of your calls this hour, 888-5-PETER-B. But first, did the White House try to get the CIA to commit forgery?
Said the fight to make ends meet. Keep the man up on his feet. Holding down his job. Trying to show he can't be bought.
I guess even Paris, yeah. Paul Goodman returns to our program right now. He served with distinction at the Central Intelligence Agency for more than 20 years, and he drew on that experience in the book he published this year, A Detailed History of the CIA, called Failure of Intelligence, subtitled The Decline and Fall of the CIA. Mel, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter B. It's been a long time.
Well, it has been, and I'm glad to talk with you again and get your expertise. I am stunned and fascinated by the revelations of Ron Suskind in his new book, The Way of the World, and only excerpts and interviews have been made available to me so far. I don't have the book yet, so I'll withhold full judgment till I do have a chance to read it cover to cover. But the stunning allegation is, based on sources that he names, not just the usual Cy Hirsch, you know, Washington anonymous sources, but he says that he has this information that the White House asked the CIA to concoct a forged letter from the former head of intelligence in Saddam's Iraq, which would establish that there was a link between Saddam and 9/11, and in particular that Mohammed Atta had been in Iraq just a month or two before September 11th of 2001. And just as a quick reminder, it was 7 years ago today, Mel, that the CIA briefers brought the memo to Bush in Crawford that said Al-Qaeda intends to attack America. So with that as a backdrop, what's your take on Suskind's allegations?
Well, I haven't, like you, I haven't read this book, but I read Suskind's earlier book on the, what was it, the 10% solution or the 1% solution, I guess, that made it clear that Dick Cheney would stop at nothing to get the Iraq war. I thought that was a very good book, and I think all the evidence suggests, and certainly my two chapters on the Iraq war involving the CIA and the White House make it clear that the White House would stop at nothing. And when you look at the Cheney campaign to oust Valerie Plame, a CIA operative who was working on nonproliferation, you could see that nothing was going to get in the way of this war. And one of the things that really frustrated Cheney when he used to come out to the CIA, and he made about a dozen trips, is he wanted the CIA to make it clear that they had evidence that Atta had met in Prague, the Czech Republic, with Iraqi intelligence officials. And this is one area that I've looked into closely, and the FBI actually had intercepted messages that made it clear that Atta was actually in Miami, Florida, when he was supposed to be in Prague meeting with Iraqi intelligence.
And just for John McCain's benefit, in case he's listening, Mel, Miami is not in the Czech Republic or in Czechoslovakia, right?
Yeah, but we know that McCain has a lot of trouble with geography. Witness the Iraqi-Pakistan border.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Which means this guy's got his own maps, and I can't believe he ever was up in a fighter jet. But the thing that I find very plausible, in fact, I wrote a letter to the Washington Post today on this very subject, is Tenet clearly was cooperating with the White House to try to make the case that there were Iraqi links to Al-Qaeda and bin Laden.
Sorry about that. No, go ahead. Keep talking.
Tenet wrote a letter to the Senate Intelligence Committee that not enough people have made much of, saying that there were such links and that the Iraqis were helping Al-Qaeda to train on biologic weapons and chemical weapons. There was no evidence for this whatsoever, and the letter was bizarre. And I talked to a lot of my former colleagues at the CIA. They couldn't understand why Tenet wrote it. Well, maybe now we know why he wrote it. Maybe he was under tremendous personal pressure. Remember his slam dunk remark in December, only 2 months later, December 2002, basically telling the president, hey, we can get you anything you want, Mr. President. And that should be also looked at in the context of the accusations Suskind is making. But the best case, I think, with regard to Suskind involves the Iraqi source, the former head of intelligence, who was trying to tell the United States and Britain that all the weapons of mass destruction had been destroyed, but the White House said this guy had no credibility.
That's Habush.
Yes. But the fact of the matter is the CIA had recruited the former foreign minister of Iraq, who gave us the same message. And we had the debriefings in Jordan of Saddam Hussein's son-in-law, Hussein Kamal, who had defected and then was coaxed back into the country and then executed by Saddam Hussein. This man not only told us that there were no weapons of mass destruction, this is the man who gave the order to destroy the weapons of mass destruction between 1991 and 1996. So I think before Americans ever leave Iraq, if American forces ever leave Iraq, I think we will finally know every aspect of this corrupt decision to go to war. What we still don't know is what in the world were Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush thinking that made Iraq so important. I hope one of these days someone, and it'll have to be one of the three, Rumsfeld is now working on a book. Bush, I hear, is getting his crayons ready that he's going to be working on a book when he gets out of Washington. Cheney, I think, is inscrutable. No book from Cheney.
Now, he'll use an Etch-a-Sketch and just keep erasing it.
Exactly. I think that's what we have for evidence so far.
Now, tell me, Mel Goodman, in your years at the CIA, did you ever work with Robert Richer or John McGuire?
No, they were operations types. But Robert Richer is well-known. And Susskind claims he's recorded interviews with these people, and I think it's going to get very interesting because Susskind eventually is going to have to produce these interviews because now Richer and McGuire are denying that they ever made these remarks, but they don't deny that they were talking to him. And clearly, if they were talking to him, they were talking about the Iraq War, the subject of this book. So I think there's more to be learned. Most of it is quite plausible. The White House was just not going to let anything get in the way of the war that they wanted so badly.
Now, Mel, listen as I read this artfully concocted denial. And this is from Rob Richer on behalf of John McGuire. And McGuire was counsel at the, he led the CIA's Iraq Operations Group. And Richer's post was former deputy director of clandestine operations. So this is intended to speak for both of them. I never received any instruction from then Chief / NE Rob Richer or any other officer in my chain of command instructing me to fabricate such a letter. Further, I have no knowledge to the origins of the letter and as to how it circulated in Iraq. Now, this is, a classic form of deniability because, for example, Jane Mayer's book makes it very clear that David Addington, the counsel and later chief of staff after Libby was convicted in Dick Cheney's office, is the real driver of many of these issues of the torture policy, detention policies, etc. And so if the order came from Addington or Cheney's office or even directly from Bush, this claim would still be narrowly true that no other officer in my chain of command instructed me to fabricate such a letter.
Yeah, this is too clever by half. As you say, I'm reading the Jane Mayer book now, too, which I think every American should read before he votes or maybe shouldn't be allowed to vote if he hasn't read The Dark Side. This was Addington's war, and this was Cheney's war. So I think Bush was protected from all of this like a covert action, so he could have plausible denial that he knew nothing about this. Clearly, Cheney was pulling these strings. And, of course, these people weren't in McGuire's chain of command, as you say. And when you think of what they stooped to do with regard to the outing of Valerie Plame, the lying to the Congress, the phony estimates, the phony speech that Tenet and his deputy, John McLaughlin, crafted for Colin Powell to give at the UN. You know, this was something out of the Goebbels playbook. This is like the burning of the Reichstag fire in 1933. You know, the more we learn about this and the more we learn from Jane Mayer about the torture and abuse programs and how the directions came from the top, and how Rumsfeld didn't want to challenge any of the criticism of what was going on in Guantanamo or the prisons in Afghanistan and Iraq. We realize how sordid and unconscionable all of this activity was, and it's really embarrassing to all of us because these actions were committed in the name of the American people.
Well, and Mel, what Jane Mayer's book is also echoed by Philippe Sands' torture team book. He's a British lawyer and journalist who wrote a great volume about this. And what we see is that principled people attempted to stand up at different times. Mora in the Pentagon. Some of the JAGs, the judge advocate generals.
The military lawyers, I've said right along, were the real heroes in this, going back to day one. And there was a senior CIA analyst, I've never learned his name, that went down to Guantanamo, who wrote a memo saying this is unbelievable what is happening down there and totally unacceptable. But generally, the CIA lawyers went along with Addington. They were out in front. They were leading the charge, unlike the military lawyers who risked their careers to challenge the White House policy.
Well, and interestingly enough, this guy Jack Goldsmith, a pro-torture guy who succeeded John Yoo at the Office of Legal Counsel, where they wrote these memos to redefine torture so that we could do it and say we don't, you know, he had misgivings. He felt that the Yoo memos were not sound legally. And he struggled with his own efforts to try to rewrite that and get the ship back on a constitutional course.
Yeah, I've read Goldsmith's book, and that's also worth reading. And you have to remember, Goldsmith's really a conservative. He's not a liberal.
Right.
And his problem was, as you say, with the legality of all of this and the substance, particularly of someone like John Yoo, who wasn't the lightweight that Gonzalez was, but clearly was in over his head in trying to twist the law to suit the practices of torture and abuse that were forbidden by a series of international covenants and domestic laws passed in this country as recently as 1994.
And Yoo is an embarrassment to the Bolt Hall School of Law at UC Berkeley. He cut and pasted some of the language used to redefine torture from some medical malpractice and insurance legal briefs. It's just bizarre. We're going to take a break and return with Mel Goodman. His book is a good read, A History of the CIA, and chronicles the decline and fall of the CIA. It's called Failure of Intelligence. Mel Goodman will return in a moment, and your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Friar Tuck's Restaurant in Carmel, corner of 5th and Dolores and next to the post office, serves outstanding breakfast and lunch from 7 a.m. Get a full 20% off coupon at friartucksrestaurant.com. Come in early for the largest breakfast served in Carmel. Stay late and enjoy the best root beer float I ever had. Thank you, Friar Tux, for 30 years of family enjoyment. Friar Tux, great food, great fun.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Checking traffic on KRXA and busy this afternoon. New crash northbound 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. Two cars, that's tying up the left-hand lane. For Highway 1, just south of Yankee Point Drive, this is in the Carmel area. We have a broken-down car that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 after Mount Hermon Road, an accident. Two cars, they're both off to the side. Heads up northbound 101 at Tennant Avenue, a door with some glass embedded in it. Apparently that's in the second lane from the left. Lumpico Road at Zianti Road, a tree down in the roadway, and reports of a grass fire north 101 after Rocks Road. Some smoke may be blowing into the roadway. Fire department is on the scene. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Mel Goodman, former CIA analyst, author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA. We're talking about the rather explosive charges in the new book by Ron Suskind, a pretty credible journalist, and it is sourced. These are not just anonymous sources that he is citing, but very highly placed sources regarding this alleged attempt to forge a document which would, provide a fake connection between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, and explicitly, they wanted it to say that Mohammed Atta had been in Iraq just months before. Now, Mel, this guy Habush, who was the intelligence director for Saddam Hussein's government, did tell us that there weren't any WMD, and we ignored that. It was inconvenient, and it didn't fit the preconceived program there. But he reportedly, and according to Suskind, has been on ICE for 5 years now and received $5 million, which Suskind says can't be characterized any other way than as hush money.
Well, actually, there's a history between Habush and British intelligence and CIA intelligence, and I'm curious to know if Suskind gets into that in his book. Habush was the intermediary between Baghdad and Washington on trying to get money to Saddam Hussein to get him out of the country. Some of your listeners may recall that right before the war, British intelligence had a lot of deals with Habush. And British intelligence was telling the CIA in Washington that we have this intelligence operative who claims that Saddam Hussein wants to leave the country, but it's going to take millions and millions of dollars. And it wasn't an authorized visit, but Richard Pearl was supposed to go to London to meet with Habush and the British handlers at MI6. Mm-hmm. And this was, of course, in early March, and he was told by the White House, don't waste your time. You know, they didn't care what Saddam Hussein had agreed to or what could be organized at this point. They wanted this war. But again, nothing was going to stop them from this war. So there is a history here.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised he's still on the payroll. But my guess is, yeah, they would have to hush him up from the fact that he had first-hand evidence that there were no weapons of mass destruction, that they had been destroyed between 91 and 1996, when they also halted all their biological weapons research. So he's a very important character in all of this.
And Suskind reports also that the copy, the text for this forgery, actually came on White House stationery. I mean, these are people...
Well, that sounds a little unbelievable.
...weren't covering their tracks very well. Yeah. One of the other recent allegations, Mel, and I don't know if you've heard this, is that in one of those briefings at the White House, that Bush...
ripped Mueller, Robert Mueller, the FBI chief, a new one, saying that, you know, why can't you prove that the anthrax attacks were caused by Al-Qaeda? And I can't, you know, this one's speculative at this point. I don't have a lot of evidence behind it. But if we tie that together with Susskind's allegations and with the reports from Tony Blair's government, including Sir David Manning, that on January 30th of 2003, Blair and Bush met, and they felt the case for war was a little weak, and Bush said, well, maybe we can paint a plane with United Nations colors and shoot it down. So we do see a pattern here of a willingness to fabricate information and evidence to, as the Downing Street memo said, you know, this stuff is being fixed around a predetermined policy.
Yeah, and if you go back to the original nuclear documents regarding Iraq and the West African country of Niger, remember, that was a forgery. That was a fabrication.
Yeah.
And there was a book done on that by Newt Royce and another journalist, and they strongly believe and make a very good case that this was done by a maverick intelligence official, an Italian intelligence official. But it seemed to me that this is possible an area where a former CIA operative could have gotten involved and been part of this fabrication. And the important thing is that this was this house of cards that Cheney had built to make the case for war. And if any piece of it went, whether it was the nuclear piece or the Attah piece or the links to terror piece or the WMD piece, it would weaken the case for war and lead to friction with the Congress, which Cheney was trying to avoid in his mad rush to get to war.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, all of this is quite plausible. All of this, I think, fits what they were trying to do to get us into this unnecessary and unneeded war.
Mel, thanks for speaking up. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Good to be with you again, Peter B.
Failure of Intelligence is the book. Coming up next, we take your calls in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line and straighten me out about Paris Hilton. 888-5 Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gents, the Peter B. Collins Show. Transmito in vivo. That's right, we're all the way live. I'm taking your phone calls in the free speech zone. And whether your name is Maria or Pam or Sally or
Jake, where are you?
You can call me now and exercise your free speech rights before they take them away. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And if you're the next caller, you're going to get to talk to Nick, our newest recruit here at the PBC show. Joshua Emerson Smith broke the news to me yesterday that after four grueling weeks working here, he's shoving off from points northward. And it's a great, great break for Josh because he has been hired as a news reporter at the public radio station in, get this, Valdez, Alaska. Yep, the site of the big spill a few years back. And he's going to head up there in September. So Nick Tanum has joined us here at the Peter B. Collins Show, and he's being trained by Katrina Rill right now. And he successfully logged Pam's call. We're going to get to her in just a moment. And you could be next for the Nick treatment at 888-5-PETER-B. And by the way, one of the things that commonly happens, and I've done it myself, is we have a complicated little switchboard gizmo here. And sometimes a new person will accidentally hang up on you. And if that happens, don't take it personal. Just call us right back. You know the number. Just hit redial, 888-573-8372. Let me just recap in case you've joined us on your drive home. We kicked off the show with Eric Bollert. We talked about this new Swift Boat attack on Barack Obama, written by the Swift Boat author Jerome Corsi, and also the switch-up where Dana Milbank, one of the snarkiest reporters and a guy who offends me on a regular basis, was outed by Keith Olbermann as Milbank, who mainly works for the Washington Post, jumped from MSNBC as a part-time contributor to CNN. And Olbermann revealed that he had been planning to keep Milbank off his show until Milbank explained or apologized for an article where he really took quotes from Barack Obama out of context and ended up supporting Republican talking points. So kudos to Mr. Olbermann for that. We also talked with Jonathan Zimmerman, a professor from New York University, encouraging us not to watch the Olympics. That's the best way to send a message to China, that we don't approve of their policies. And it's also a way to tell Bush we don't approve of his human rights policies, too. We talked with Jonathan Hafitz at New York University's Brennan Center about the Gitmo decision in the Hamdan case, a split decision. And you just heard Mel Goodman, a former CIA officer, talking about Ron Suskind's allegations in his new book. So all that is up for grabs, or you can bring up the topic of your own at 888-5-PETER-B. Now to Big Sur on the Central Coast and Pam listening to KRXA. Hi, Pam.
Hi there, and you know, I didn't get your name. Is it Nick?
Nick answered the phone, but I'm actually your humble host, and my name's Pete.
Okay, I thought I was going to get your newbie, but all right, Pete, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
You know, I was just calling about Professor Zimmerman, I believe his name was,
you're right.
Earlier, the chat about China and what we can do to express our dismay and chagrin at their human rights policies and, mm-hmm. and Bush's also. Now, what you suggested, I love the idea of just not tuning in and giving the IOC the message, we're not going to support the sponsors, we're not even going to listen to their ads, and because the networks evidently have a way of figuring out who's watching, that would send a message. Now, what I'm wondering, though, I really want to watch the Olympics. I mean, I have to admit it.
Now, Pam, you're not following the program. You want to cheat. That's like saying that's
yes.
like saying you want to take just a little flask to your AA meeting.
That's it.
Just a nip. I just need a nip.
A little sip. And I, you know, I'm not the kind that likes the diets where you can't have, you're denying yourself anything. So I prefer to watch them and yet send a message. So my question is, can we record something? And, you know, well, of course, we don't watch the commercials when we record. We zip right through them.
That's right.
But does when you're recording a show, does that count as a listenership to the networks?
Pam, do you have any background with the Catholic Church?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Do you know the difference between a venial sin and a mortal sin?
Yes. Well, I'm afraid I've committed them all. But
good.
Yes.
I'm
now,
with you there.
What does this have to do with?
Well, you want to, you know, kind of plead this down to a misdemeanor or a venial sin. But here are the facts, okay? If you, first of all, the only way the networks know who's watching is if you are what's called a Nielsen family. And that means that Nielsen contacts you and they put a box on your TV that actually tracks when you change the channel, when you turn it on and off, and how long you view it. I think it's even gotten sophisticated enough that they know how many people are in the room, not necessarily which ones, but it is a fairly sophisticated device.
Yeah, so I took part in that years ago when it wasn't sophisticated, where you had to
fill out a little paper thing?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Well, so if you're not a Nielsen family, they won't know about that. Now, if you have a TiVo box, TiVo, I don't know if you know about this, I've got one at home, and I love it for the most part, but TiVo has its hard drive hooked up to a telephone line. And once a week, in the middle of the night, my TiVo machine dials into a TiVo server, and it dumps down all of the data about what I watched the week before. So they know which shows I recorded, they know which of those recordings I actually watched, and they even have detailed data on which commercial breaks I zipped through and which ones I may have paused during to watch a certain commercial if that's what I chose to do. So what I don't know is exactly how TiVo compiles that data and to what extent they give it to the networks. I think it's mostly being used by advertisers who want to see if their zippy new commercials that are TiVo-friendly cause me to pause and look. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are a lot of new waves of commercials where if you fast-forward through them, you still see the brand name, you still see a key message like hot or sexy or cheap or discount or, you know, reduced. So the ad agencies have gotten, you know, they're trying to fight back to still penetrate the TiVo users' proclivities. And so on that basis, I do think that there's some information that is shared with NBC, and they can probably find out from TiVo whether you watched or not, even if you taped it and watched it later.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought there was a way out of this. Well, you know, another suggestion I have, maybe this would hit the pocketbooks, and that is for the duration of the Olympics, that we, I mean, make a concerted effort to look at the label of everything we buy. And if it's from China, just don't buy it. Now, I realize we won't be buying a lot, but, you know, that might send a message.
Yeah, and Pam, I support all these things. People have the right to express themselves as consumers, as citizens, and as television viewers. And even if you're not a Nielsen family, I encourage people to change the channel when irresponsible or just, you know, downright disgusting things are presented on television. Because if more people do that, the networks will respond. They will cancel the shows that people don't watch. And that's it's the only real weapon that we have, and we've got to use it.
Well, I will certainly do that, and I may even, I don't know, I can't promise this, but I'm on the air, and maybe I'll, yeah, you know what, I would go so far as this is an important enough issue that I can do without watching the Olympics this year.
All right, good for you. I'll tell you what, Pam, I'm probably going to watch the opening ceremonies because I kind of like that international pomp, and I think it's my duty to be aware of what's going on there, but I don't really follow sports that much. Yet the Olympics can be interesting because when you get past the way the American networks only cover American contestants, you can often see some great athletes from all over the world competing in these age-old events.
I know. So if someone comes up with an idea that will allow me to watch, boy, I'd sure love it because I'd love to make a statement, but I'd also love to watch the Olympics.
All right.
So
how about this?
I'll keep tuning in, and then if you come up with a decision, and we've got a couple of days, you know, we can mobilize quickly.
Well, how about this, Pam? What if you take the month off from going to Walmart?
Well, there you go. I've taken more than a month off from that. Actually,
that's
very infrequently. But
that's like promising to
everywhere. You know, it's just everywhere.
It's like promising to give up molasses during Lent, right?
Exactly. Right. Impossible.
All right. One more question, Pam. How are things at Big Sur with the fires under control?
It's all under control, and the fires in Kishawa are under control. And I'll tell you, kudos to the firemen and to the dozer teams and the strike teams and the hot shots. Everybody has been wonderful. We've had so much support.
Real good, Pam. Great to hear from you today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, working on our conscience thing. Harvey in Berkeley, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How are you doing today, Peter B.?
I'm okay, thanks, except I appear to be ignorant of the Paris Hilton phenomena. But I'm coping. I'm working through it.
Well, I have, since I live in a college town, I have I think is a great new idea for college students to tap into the sun and get energy for all those devices they carry around. They carry around cell phones, computers,
iPods,
sure. Games,
yeah.
Endless stuff. So my idea is, you know, when they graduate at these graduation ceremonies, they wear these miter caps,
right?
Kind of square caps.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, they make flexible solar cells now, so I say you put the flexible solar panel on top of the miter cap, and the whole surface of the miter cap is a solar panel, and then, you know, the tassel, well, you can have a plug-in port there, so hidden inside the tassel, so you can plug in your computer and your cell phones and all that, so people can walk around and charge up all your devices and in the college town, I think that's greater anywhere. So.
All right, and even in Berkeley, how often do people wear their caps and gowns?
Well,
there?
Actually, they only wear them during graduation because they have no other reason to wear them. It's a symbol of graduation and used in the ceremony. But some of them are comfortable, some are uncomfortable.
Right.
But I say if you get a really comfortable ones, like the kind that the professors wear, they wear them every year, and you put a flexible solar cell on the top there. There's enough surface area to make a substantial, you know, you can have batteries on your belt and recharge them while you're walking around.
Now, Harvey, what about contribution by hard bodies? A few weeks ago, Kevin Danaher came on the program. He runs the Green Festivals. He's co-founder of Global Exchange. And he's a real visionary about greening America. And one of the things he has planned is a development in San Francisco that'll be a live workspace, commercial on the first floor and condos or apartments upstairs. And he wants to put a gym in there. And he wants to capture energy from the treadmills, the bikes, and some of the other repetitive motion machines that people work out on at the gym.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly how much energy can be generated and captured this way, but I just love the concept of sweaty, hard bodies, you know, putting something back into the grid.
Yes, and these would be called electrogens. So you'd have the electro stairmaster, the electro rower, the electro bike, and all that. And what you're doing, the basic way it would work is that you'd when you go into the gym, you're issued a card. And when you get on the machine like the electro bike, you put your card into the machine and you pedal, and then when you're finished with that, you take your card out and you put it into the electro rower, and then you row. And at the end of the month, you know, you pull your card out, and as you move from machine to machine, you put the card in, take it out, and the card records all the electricity you made and all the time you put in. At the end of the month, you take your card and you turn it in for reduced fees or various things, trips. You know, and also at the same time, the gym has reduced its electric use, mm-hmm. and could sell any extra to the utility. So the gym is actually reducing its own carbon footprint, and the people are not just getting in shape, which is, you know, they're burning calories and getting in shape here. They're actually making clean electricity, renewable electricity, and they're. If you think that there's actually thousands of gyms across America. The total of all that energy turned into electricity, because any kind of physical motion can be turned into electric motion,
mm-hmm.
the total of all that electricity would be substantial, because there are in like the 24-hour gym fitness gyms alone, they have 3 million members.
Right.
So you add all that, and not including Gold's gyms or any of the other gyms or all the Y gyms, but I believe all those machines, in fact, if you go to Google and put in pedal for electricity or electric
right.
pedaling
yeah.
and all that. You'll see there are devices that come up. You can sit in your...
All right, Harvey, you're way ahead of us, so can you get to work on slot machines? Just think, all of that, you know, energy as people pull the arm down, we ought to be able to get some electricity out
of that.
That's
a good idea.
Don't you think? All right, Harvey, thanks a lot for your call today. 888-5 Peter B. And let's have a little fun in the last segment. As you may know, last weekend I went to Madison, Wisconsin, where we convened the Nonstop Radio Symposium. And I got one of the video guys to grab a little soundbite for me. And I find this very amusing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But see if you can identify the voice, the person, who is telling this story, which gets a little off color.
Bonjour, this is...
Oh, sorry. That was the wrong one. I have to switch the CD. And I would blame my board operator, but I'm the one I've been waiting for.
Good radio is about... developing a relationship, a one-on-one relationship between the host and the listener. You know, I made the joke to Richard today at lunch. I said, you know, Rush Limbaugh's listeners, by and large, the majority of his listeners who are dedicated to his show, would probably tune in if he made bodily noises for 3 hours. You know, it doesn't matter because they've got a relationship with Rush. And he's such a brilliant programmer and talk show host, by the way, as much as he is, you know, politically an evil force in America. He is a brilliant talk show host and programmer, that he'd figure out some way to make 3 hours of farting interesting. You know? I mean, you say, and here's how I farted when I was sitting in the White House with George Bush. And here's how I farted when I was on Air Force One. And here's one that you can't quite hear because, you know, I mean, he'd figure out some way to do it, you know, because he does the entertaining.
All right, name that voice. 888-5 Peter B. And I'll find a prize for you. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA and busy this afternoon. New crash northbound 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. Two cars, that's tying up the left-hand lane. For Highway 1 just south of Yankee Point Drive, this is in the Carmel area. We have a broken-down car that's partially blocking the right-hand lane. Santa Cruz Mountain southbound 17 after Mount Hermon Road, an accident. Two cars, they're both off to the side. Heads up northbound 101 at Tennant Avenue, a door with some glass embedded in it. Apparently that's in the second lane from the left. Lumpico Road at Zianti Road, a tree down in the roadway, and reports of a grass fire north 101 after Rocks Road. Some smoke may be blowing into the roadway. Fire department is on the scene. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Hurry into the men's store inside JCPenney for a fresh start. Men's jockey underwear and gold toe socks, or buy one package, get the second 50% off. JCPenney. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA. UFO sightings are happening worldwide.
We have the stories and answers, new information, new pieces of the puzzle. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday night, 9 p.m.
With gentleness overcome anger. With generosity overcome meanness. With truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., and I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 a.m. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We just had a positive report on the summer fires at Big Sur. And this story just came in a few minutes ago. A helicopter carrying firefighters to a blaze in Northern California has crashed and nine are believed dead here on Wednesday. Up next in the free speech zone, it's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
I see that Barack Obama these days offering advice on people inflating their tires and all that, like he's Ralph Nader Jr. or something. One problem I got with that is, number one, he's too chicken to debate Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney, for that matter. And number two, Mr. Obama wanted to show some real leadership on the energy issue. I don't think I heard him say anything at the time when the senators, I believe one was John Warner, and I don't remember who the other one was, talking about lowering the national speed limit to 55 miles an hour. You don't know how many times I'm out on the highway, and you got all these idiots out on the highway. Whatever the speed limit is, they're always going at least 10 or 15 miles over the speed limit.
All right, Joe, let me just ask you about one thing. Because, you know, the tire pressure thing that Obama raised was not an attempt to be Ralph Nader. What he said and what has been twisted by the McCain campaign as they give away their little free tire pressure gauges is that just checking the tire pressure would save more oil than we would get by drilling, and I think he was referring to ANWR at that point. Maybe it's some of the coastal drilling that's been proposed by the Republicans. But his point was that we could save that much oil simply through conservation by tweaking our cars and getting our tires at the right pressure levels. And that's been turned into, you know, like he's one of the car talk guys who's trying to offer that kind of advice. So, Joe, I can tell you don't like Obama, and you're well within your rights. There are a lot of things to be pissed about. But to pick up on this talking point from the McCain campaign and try to beat Obama with a tire pressure gauge, I'm sorry, you're working for the other side.
You can accuse me that. if you want to. Obama has proven himself to be a chicken when it comes to these debates. I mean, he only wants to agree to these three debates.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to debate the issues. It is ridiculous for him to be talking like he does on energy when he's got his campaign manager is the former lobbyist for the nuclear
industry. That is true. Axelrod has worked for Exelon. I agree. Thank you very much. I got to jump and give away a prize here to some lucky contestants here. Ben and Salinas, you're on the Peter B. Show.
Yeah, a couple of issues. First of all, these people, they're coming up with every euphemism that they possibly can. I am being very surprised at how racist a country we still are. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of racist, ignorant Democrats and racist, ignorant Republicans and just racist, ignorant Americans. I'd rather be a chicken than be a racist. And
right.
The guess at your voice, that little bit you played, it mm-hmm. sounded to me like the voice of Jay Leno.
Nope, sorry.
So my brain ain't doing that good.
All right,
but,
Ben.
You know,
thanks a lot. I know I gotta jump so we can give away the prize here and solve the puzzle here. Brian in Pacific Grove, you're on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
Fine.
Good. I'm gonna guess Tom Hartman.
That is correct.
Excellent.
That was Tom Hartman offering a comment on Rush Limbaugh at the Nonstop Radio Conference in Madison. Now you're one of three people who've correctly guessed. Do you know how to spell Tom Hartman?
Oh, I'm gonna go with T-H-O-M.
Right.
H-A-R-T-M-A-N.
Oh, hold on here. We'll see if somebody else gets it correct. And let's see. This is Terry in Monterey. Hi, Terry. Can you spell Tom Hartman?
T-H-O-M.
Yep.
H-A-R-D-T-M-A-N.
No! Hold on. We're going to take one on the fly. Line one, who's this?
Hi, Marianne.
Can you spell Tom Hartman?
It's a T-H-O-M-H-A-R-T.
Yeah?
M-A-N.
Yeah? Yeah?
Is that it?
And?
N-N.
I think I put my finger on the scale a little bit, but you're the winner, Marianne. Congratulations.
Happy trails.
And thankfully, Rush Limbaugh hasn't done a show with bodily noises, as far as I know.
Until we meet.
Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in then.
To you. Keep smart.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hundreds of family members, friends, and colleagues attended a memorial service in Frederick, Maryland for Bruce Ivins, while in Washington, federal prosecutors were detailing the evidence against him in the 2001 anthrax attacks. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The circumstantial evidence includes access to the anthrax that's been scientifically tracked to the deadly letters, the know-how and opportunity to carry out the attacks. But the evidence on motive is less clear. Prosecutor Jeff Taylor says Ivins was having mental problems and was obsessed with perfecting an anthrax vaccine.
One theory is that by launching these attacks, he creates a situation, a scenario, where people all of a sudden realize the need to have this vaccine.
Ivan's lawyer says he's innocent, but after Ivan's suicide, there can be no trial, and the FBI now considers the case closed. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
The first U.S. military trial at Guantanamo Bay ended today with a split verdict. Osama bin Laden's former driver, Salim Hamdan, was convicted of supporting terrorism, but acquitted of the more serious conspiracy charge. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
The fact that Hamdan was cleared of the conspiracy charge against him tells me that the six U.S. officers who served on the jury didn't entirely buy the government's theory of the case, or perhaps they bought the story offered in written testimony by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the 9/11 mastermind, who declared that Hamdan was more qualified to drive trucks than to plan terror.
The White House, while disappointed in the outcome, says Hamdan got a fair trial. He raised his hands to his face and wept as the verdict was read. It's only August. We haven't even had the conventions yet, but many Americans say they've had enough of presidential politics. And in a poll, Andrew Kohut of the Pew Research Center says 48% said they're tired of hearing about Barack Obama.
There's obviously a little bit of Obama fatigue setting in, with nearly half the public saying they've heard too much about the Democratic candidate.
Just a quarter of those surveyed said they've heard too much about John McCain. A CBS News poll finds that Obama gained little ground with his recent trip abroad. Voters are much more focused on domestic issues, especially the economy. Brett Favre is leaving Green Bay behind. He and the Packers couldn't come to terms, so now...